This is the Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Big Show on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca. It is a Friday. It is an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day.
Game day!
Jets hosting the Minnesota Wild. The afternoon ride live from Boston Pizza City Place at 3 o'clock today with Andrew Hustler-Patterson and Rick Ralph. The Manitoba Building Trades pregame show live from Boston Pizza City Place with Mr. Kevin Olszewski and friends. Puck drop tonight at 7 o'clock. Right here on TSN 1290, between the Jets and the Wild, with Paul Edmonds and Brian Munns on the call, and then the Huron Windows postgame show live from BP City Place. We'll wrap it all up for you. We'll tee it off for you today, this morning. Kevin Olszewski, as you just heard, live from Bell MTS Place at 11, with the latest on the lineup. Lots to get to today, including the game and some lineup changes for the Winnipeg Jets tonight. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers are in Toronto tomorrow, 3 p.m. Central. And that is a Minuk Dencher Blue Bomber game day. Coverage right here on TSN 1290 begins at 1 p.m. There's a team in the World Series, and it's a classic team, and they haven't been there for a while. And you just heard in Brandon Rowicki's Sports Center that it's a dream come true for some of these players. And Houston and New York go at it tonight in Game 6. We'll get into that. Thursday night football was outstanding. Looked like a CFL game. Scoring, scoring, scoring. Ed Tate's going to join us, Dennis Bayak, Jeff Hamilton. We have a six-pack for you, two chances to qualify for Hockey Nights in Vegas. Jets genius returns. How well do you know your Jets, and specifically today, your captain, Blake Wheeler? And, of course, an hour of your phone calls. Jim Tolt, Troy Westwood, Brandon Rowicki with you. Lots to get to today, gentlemen. It's the weekend. How are you?
Not too bad, man. These Thursday nights are magical this time of year for sure. And I guess last night was what I heard Huss talking about, the 17th time that you had all the major sports going at it. And just to some of the things witnessed specifically, you couldn't keep up with things, right? You kind of had to pick what you're going to focus on and then bounce around from there. But seeing what McDavid did yesterday and utilizing his speed and keeping the puck away from Duncan Keith, that stands out. Marshawn Lynch coming off the sideline like a dummy and getting tossed stands out. And then, of course, Kershaw and the Dodgers head to the World Series to meet the Yankees eventually here. It's going to be magical in that World Series.
It was the 17th time, man. What'd you guys watch last night?
I needed three TVs.
I focused on Oilers, Chicago Blackhawks. And I tell you what, man, that 3-on-3 overtime period was outstanding.
You know what I've started to do, actually, is I'll PVR one of the games. I think I PVR'd Raiders-Chiefs. And then I can just kind of catch up.
You watch that, what, till midnight?
No. I catch up during commercials and intermission and stuff like that. And it kind of, well, it helped too that the Dodgers ended the game after three innings.
Yeah.
So I could push that out of the way and then intermissions, catch up. And I eventually got to it live in the fourth quarter. And my Lord, thank God I didn't have either of those teams on my pro line last night, because that would have been torture.
Oh, what is it? Five plays? That's what I watched. I literally arrived home at about second quarter, and I tuned that in. First of all, Amari Cooper is alive and well. I literally had him on the bench in my fantasy team this week until a last-second maneuver to go, Randall Cobb, I'm switching this. But, yeah, it was an exciting game, and watch it till the end. And five plays at the end, with three with no time left on the clock because of penalties. How many chances? And the Oakland Raiders survive. Had an eye on the Dodgers and some of the hockey as well. So lots to get to, and it is an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. We'll start there, of course. The game is tonight on TSN 1290, 7 o'clock, puck drop. And Brendan Lemieux will make his debut. He'll do it on a line with Sean Mathias and Nick Petan. Nick Petan is going up to the third line to play center. And the power play's changed a little bit as well, but we'll start with your thoughts on Brendan Lemieux.
Pretty over much whoop-de-doo. And I guess, hey, sure, great. Like, I hope he goes out and he accomplishes something, but when you're talking from a production standpoint, are we expecting much more? I hear Coach Paul Maurice talk about, like, Brendan Lemieux's speed. No one's going to watch the game tonight and think, boy, Lemieux's quick. Boy, Lemieux's fast. I mean, I hope he goes out there and some sort of a miracle happens, but nothing really here is changing whatsoever with this the bottom six aspect of the team and just how, you know, the drop-off, the sharp drop-off from the top six to the bottom six here is like no other team right now in the NHL, and I don't like it.
Yeah, you know, looking at the lines, I wouldn't have even had much of a problem if you had Patan and Lemieux on the third line. I think my big issue is having Mathias on one line and then Tanev on another, and I don't know how much offense you're going to get out of those two. Like, if you're going to have those two in the lineup, I'm almost at the point of just put them on the same line, and then at least you have one line that's going to be a black hole offensively, and somebody else gives you maybe they give you a goal on the night, but you guys know I'm a big Marco Dano fan. I can't really argue for his place in the lineup right now. So it's a move that makes sense, you know, if you're going to go Lemieux and Dano at this point, because Marco Dano's been a little disappointing, and maybe this lights the fire under him that he needs to kind of get things kick-started here, and hopefully Brendan Lemieux supplies that. Although, I don't know, I hear Paul Maurice talk, and I don't really see what he says in terms of Lemieux's speed and that sort of thing. I think he kind of struggles with the pace of the game, but he's had a nice start in the AHL, so maybe that translates over tonight.
I'm interested to see what he's going to do. I think this is shuffling the deck. I think that, you know, we've heard about a caller this week actually said, well, he doesn't bench anybody. He doesn't. And, you know, there's some great quotes coming out of Calgary last night from Glenn Gullickson, the Flames head coach, where he's literally talking about the penalties they take. And he said, it's the same guys. And he said, those guys are still going to dress, but they're going to see their ice time and real estate drop drastically. And then he got into, it's the same mistakes we were making last year. And Yoshi Baba, some other people tweeting us, and I'll get back to you, Yoshi, but I hear that from Maurice this year. Like, even some of the calls yesterday, and I've been big on and harping on, I think the leash is short, and people go, well, what leash, everything? Like, that's sort of what we're hearing is, like, from day two, we're not going to wait 3 weeks. And even yesterday, I like the other guy better right now. And just the sort of, it's subtleties, but I guess if you want to get something going, and I'm not praising this move, and I'm not down on it. What else are you going to do? Like, if you want to get those guys going, and I look at the bottom six guys, and we can debate, you know, top six, top nine, all that stuff. But Adam Lowry, no points. Nick Patan, no points.
None of them have
Mark
any points,
Dano, no points. Sean Mathias, no points. Andrew Kopp, one assist. Joel Armia, one goal.
Shorthanded,
came in the last
shorthanded.
Game. Yeah, shorthanded. Brendan Tanev, one goal. Hustler and Remus were talking yesterday. I think the Jets have more shorthanded goals than they do 5-on-5 from the bottom six.
The Jets like have 0 points 5-on-5.
Yes, I know.
Their bottom six. So, yeah, of course they have more shorthanded than they have points.
Well, I'm making that point that they have more shorthanded points than they do 5-on-5. Like, it's not good. So we can discuss who they all play with. But I'm a big guy on, like, you have to show something regardless of who you're playing with.
Well, that's a tough thing to say, man.
Why?
Like, if you're expecting, like, because you also need to have some level of support and like-minded individuals out there with you. It's tough to be on the right wing as a skilled player. And you've got, like, it's hard to make chicken salad out of chicken number two if you're out there and your centerman and your left wing are a couple of heavy-duty grinders. Like, does anybody really think that bringing in Brendan Lemieux, he's going to come in and be some sort of an offensive spark plug? Like, is that what we're thinking? Or, like, really? He's going to be a little bit nasty out there and hopefully he doesn't take any, you know, hopefully he helps to draw penalties and not take any, but I'm not sure what's being expected from him.
I would expect him to contribute something. I think that's why he's got 3 goals and 2 assists in 4 AHL games this year. He's got 5 points in 4 games, just like Kyle Connor. I don't expect him to come in and score tonight, but yeah, I think they are. I think they are hoping he comes in and gets the helper and he provides some energy. Because what else are you going to do, like, with this lineup?
Well, energy is what you're hoping out of him tonight. And I guess to your question of what else are you going to do, if you're looking at production or wanted production out of, let's just keep it to the top nine for now because the top 12 would be a pipe dream at this point, you got to shuffle up the deck and not overload your top two lines. That's the simple answer. If you want third line production, don't have your six best players all in the top two lines. If that's Paul Maurice's goal of I need more production from nine forwards instead of six, that's the only way he can go about it with the players that are on the team right now. Until Mathieu Perreault comes back from injury, until Adam Lowry comes back from injury, that's the only way he's going to get it.
And it's difficult to do without Perreault available, but it's still absolutely mandatory if you want to spread out. Other teams do it all the time. We see endless examples of it, and that's his only real option here.
So now you have Kyle Connor on the top line. He's new. You're bringing in Brendan Lemieux. I mean, my point to, like, you still have to produce regardless of who you're playing with. These guys have to do something. Like, they should, three of the six should have a point by now. They literally should. These aren't unskilled guys. Nick Batan has one goal in 59 NHL games. And I'm not, you know, I like Patan. We've been over this. I like Dano. I think they provide something. They have skill. But they have to produce. It's the National Hockey League. And I know we can harp on the lineup and everything else. Rightfully so. Like, I agree with spreading it out and doing all this. But you still, regardless of who you're playing with, have to do something.
Yeah, they got it. They have to do something. But it's just, are you expecting anything at this point in time? Like, it's real hard to expect much. Right, like hopefully they bring. And at this point in time, I thought just watching the most recent game, guys, where they look like the bottom six guys when they get into scoring chances, they look like they're gripping the sticks pretty tight, and it makes sense, right? When you're this far into it, and there's been 0 5-on-5 type of success, and now if and whenever Mathias gets in a scoring opportunity, it looks like he's gripping the heck out of the stick. Same with Kopp. Patan, Armia, like all those guys just don't look like they're very comfortable out there at this point in time. But somehow, some way, they got to break through. But it's, I dare say that don't expect a breakthrough until quite possibly the return of Mathieu Perreault. And if he gets inserted down onto that third line, or if somehow Paul Maurice does some juggling around to the degree that you do drop a guy down to that third line just to give yourself a little bit more spread out as far as the talent goes.
Yeah, because like you said, Jim, they need to produce. They have to, right? That's obvious, but they're not. And maybe they're just not capable of it on their own or with each other. So if you're the coach, you have to look at it and say, I'm parachuting in some help for you guys. And I know everybody wants Ehlers and Laine, and that's fair, but with Perreault and Lowry out, I might look at Nikolai Ehlers and say, look, you're going to be on your third line, and it's going to be your line. You're the offense for that line. We need you to carry two players for us for the next couple of games here and slot up whoever you want with Laine and Little and allow those two guys to carry a little bit of the offensive load there. But if you want more balanced scoring, you're going to have to sacrifice something out of your top six. That's the only way it's going to come about. Now, you might get the odd goal once in a blue moon, but until the Jets make a concerted effort to put more skill onto that third line, nothing is going to get solved.
And I dare say, similar to what Wicks was saying a little earlier, you are better off at this point in time because you're paralyzing your bottom six instead of simply your fourth line. But I think you're better with Mathias in the middle of Tanev and Lemieux and Patan in the middle of Kopp and Armia. At least you give your third line a chance to do something there.
Yeah, and I don't want to exclude those guys either. Like, Lowry's got to put up something. Mathias has to finish some of those chances. It's six games, and I was talking yesterday. I'm looking 10 to 12, maybe 10 to 15 games to sort of evaluate the team. But player-wise, like, once you get to six games, I think 6 to 10, you have to produce something in 10 games, to me. 10 is stretching it, but yeah, you don't. If these guys get a point every 10 games,
that's not much.
No, that's not much. That's not asking too much.
8 points is unacceptable in the NHL.
Yeah. So I'm not sort of defending Maurice. I agree that maybe spread this out. I like the idea of top nine, all that stuff. But I don't know when you're looking at this lineup and how guys are producing or not producing, who you can bring up, who you can't, and how you do it. I agree in spreading it out, but with Perreault out and stuff, I just don't know what else. There's not a lot of leeway in what you can do. You can just keep mixing it up, I guess. We'll get into the power play, too, because the power play is going to look different tonight. And we'll talk more about the Jets and the Wild on Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day when we come back to the Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290 and Not Auto Corp present the Blue Bus before every Winnipeg Blue Bombers home game this season. We're taking W fans to Investors Group Field in our Not Auto Corp VIP Blue Bus. We'll pick you up and drop you off at the Not Auto Corp VIP tent to tailgate before the game. Then after all the football action, take you back to wherever you started. Prize includes 6 tickets to an upcoming Blue Bombers home game and free transportation to and from. Enter now to win at TSN 1290. And we have our latest winner coming up later in today's show. On the Big Show with Jim Tull, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki, it is an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and the Minnesota Wild, their first divisional game of the season tonight at 7 o'clock at Bell MTS Place and live right here on TSN 1290. Back to the lineup, gentlemen. And the power play will look different as well. Ken Wiebe out there yesterday at practice. The first power play is going to be Patrick Laine, Mark Scheifele, and Nick Petan, Dustin Byfuglien, and Blake Wheeler. And Wheeler is on the point. Petan is on the wall.
Yeah, I don't like it at all. We talked last year of the power play and emphasizing your top power play. Put your best guys out there and let them go. Similar to what you see in Washington and wherever else that there's a bunch of upper-end talent. I will not understand until it happens, until it sticks and stays, why Nikolaj Ehlers is not on that top power play. I just don't get it. What's so freaking ever?
I'm willing to give this a chance. I like to see it now. I mean, there's a chance that it could work out and it could be beneficial. I think I like having a lefty on the half wall more than Wheeler. I'd like to try Wheeler a little more closer to the net. Yeah, I don't know. It's tough because we haven't seen it in action yet. So Let it play out. And maybe in a way, too, it's a move to try and get Nick Petan going offensively. You put him with some skilled guys in a skilled situation. Maybe he's able to get – just maybe you're able to kind of jumpstart his game offensively, give him a bit of confidence, and then maybe once he gets going, you make the switch to put somebody else in there.
I think it's for that reason. And also Blake Wheeler last year had some success playing on a point – and although he doesn't have a booming shot, it worked out. He got a couple goals up there last year, and I'm probably looking to kickstart both the power play and get Nick Petan. A great opportunity for Nick Petan, as he is extremely skilled on the power play. The second power play, gentlemen, is Kyle Connor with Brian Little and Nick Ehlers with Morrissey and Trouba on the points.
Yeah. I say, like, Ehlers to me should be the top place, and I would even have Trouba. Like, Trouba Morrissey, for sure that should be the premier pairing in the penalty kill. So I'm not sure what the – and you see them out there a lot on the penalty kill, but I don't even – like, why have – they're having a defensive pair out there, and I've read a couple things lately that have been published about the number of teams. There's very few teams still going with two defensemen on the power play, and there's just, to me, there's enough talent with the Winnipeg Jets that you don't need to have two defensemen on a unit. So that's perplexing to me. I don't like the way at all, really, the personnel is being utilized whatsoever for the power play. And it's the power play is something that's struggling at a level that no one thinks it should at this point in time, and you wonder, will it turn around? It's right now it's 26th, so and running at about 10%. Now that's early and that can improve, but you keep this personnel the way it is, like keep a guy like Nikolaj Ehlers off your top power play, who is your best at zone entry, your most brilliant playmaker. There's no question about that whatsoever, in my opinion. And how he's not on your top power play is ridiculous.
Yeah, I just don't like two defensemen on the power play. I just think, especially in no real offense to Trouba and Morrissey, but it's not like they're offensive dynamos on the back end. Like, it might be different if you have some super offensive-minded defenseman that you don't mind having out there whipping the puck around. But I just think it's the four forward, one defenseman. That's just kind of the way to go here. I just wonder if you're hampering yourself a little bit. But hopefully they don't see the ice. That's the ideal situation, is that number one is working out there so good that we would have to find out if Ehlers and or Trouba and Morrissey on the back end is a hindrance to the power play.
So who would you put Patan then on the second one and move Ehlers up and Laine, Scheifele, Ehlers?
Me, absolutely. And I would even give strong consideration. I think Trouba's I don't like how slowly when Buff grabs the puck, I don't like how slowly he typically is coming up the ice. And I tell you what, I'd even in a 1-3-1 setup, I'd have Buff on that top power play, but I'd have him in front of the net. So there's one thing. For me to have Trouba at the back, have Ehlers up, and then maybe Bufflin in front, and I'd put even a guy like Wheeler on the second power play, and whatever seconds I'm sparing and saving there, I'm going to utilize that and use him more so on the penalty kill because of that.
We will get your thoughts on the lineup and the power play units and the new placements going into tonight's game on Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day between the Jets and the Wild at 9 o'clock on the Boston Pizza fan line. More on the Jets to come as it is game day, but we'll delve into the Bombers as they are in Toronto to take on the Argos tomorrow. That's next on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Our province is packed with shining stars in the world of the sports. Every week, TSN 1290 would like to showcase and reward these individuals who are making a big impact and difference in what they do. Nominate a Manitoban athlete, coach, or volunteer who's dedicated to making their sport matter. And every Friday on The Big Show, we'll showcase a Subway Sports Star of the Week and reward him or her with a $50 Subway gift card. Visit TSN1290.ca to nominate your sports star, and we can be featuring them soon, and we'll have our latest sports star coming up as it is Friday here on The Big Show a little bit later. Keep listening for that. Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day, of course. Jets hosting the Minnesota Wild, their first divisional game of the season, the first of four with their rivals to the south, the Minnesota Wild. Afternoon ride live from BP City Place, 3 till 6. The Manitoba Building Trades pregame show live from BP City Place at 6. Puck drop at 7. And then the Huron Windows postgame show will wrap it all up for you. And the Boss Pizza fan line will be open on the postgame show. It'll be open today at 9 a.m. here on The Big Show. Jim, Troy, and Brandon. Tomorrow is a Minuke Denture Blue Bomber game day starting at 1 o'clock on TSN 1290 as the Bombers are in Toronto to take on the Argos. Coming off that win over BC, gentlemen, what are you expecting in this one? Who you got?
Well, it should be a pretty dang good game. The Argos, their last three losses, all by 3 points and or less, and they've all been late in the game. They've lost them all in the final 2 minutes and 30 seconds. So the Argos are playing pretty good ball right now. And, of course, they've got Ricky Ray back, who's healthy, and someone who's a whole bunch of fun to watch right now in the backfield. They're one of the most effective teams passing. They are a dangerous team. I do think, and you hope that the Bombers are able to go out there and pull out a win. When you look at some of the struggles offensively for the Bombers, they have been struggling in the last three games to be effective with the offense at the same degree and rate that they were a little bit early on. So you hope that Matt Nichols and company can get things turned around a little bit. As far as the last three games, the Bombers averaged 307 in the first 12 games, but over the last three games, passing just 238, 286, and 172. So hopefully they can go, you know, utilize these last 3 weeks to kind of turn things around, get back on track, and make a statement against Toronto.
Yeah, I expect a tight game, a close game as well. Can the Bombers get back on track offensively? You would think that they should be able to. I don't really see a reason why they wouldn't. As long as Matt Nichols' hand is okay, which it appears to be right now, it might just be, you know, a bit of a mid to late season swoon. They were operating at such a high pace early on that it might have just been hard to replicate that over the course of the entire season. So, I mean, as long as they can get back on track against Toronto, you don't really have to worry about maybe some sort of regression with the offense here late in the year. But as usual, I'm not even really concerned about what happens on that side of the ball. It's all going to be about the defense and how are they going to be able to withstand the loss of Leggett. And can Kevin Fogg step in and at least give you, I don't know, 80% of what Leggett was giving you at linebacker? And is Ricky Ray going to be able to tear this secondary apart again. Because when they played early in the season in Winnipeg, what did he have? Did he have 300 yards at the half? So he had close to 300 at the
door
half.
Of that, yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting because for the same reasons, is the offense going to put up some numbers, and what's the defense going to look like without Mo Leggett? And Toronto's 7-9, but they went on the road in Edmonton. They look good offensively. I don't know if James Wilder Jr. back from that concussion.
I believe so, but I'm not positive.
In all honesty, I love watching that guy play. Like, he has sort of come on the scene, and
he's not going to be here much longer, I don't think either.
Well, no, I don't think so. He was the State of Florida's Football Player of the Year. He's out of Florida State, and Milt Stegall's been on pumping his tires for a while now. He looks really good and really tough to bring down. So when you add that kind of a running game to this Argos offense, I really wonder what the Bombers defense can do. Normally I'd sit here and I go, well, it's a tough game and it's probably going to be close, but I'd lean towards the Bombers at 11-4. But I'm really intrigued by this matchup and the way the Argos have been playing down the stretch here, and how without, Darvin Adams and Mo Leggett and Ian Wild coming back in, there are a lot of question marks around the Bombers this weekend.
Well, defensively, there's always question marks. And you see a guy like S.J. Green that has been so successful and ripped the secondary to shreds. And any time that you've got Ricky Ray back there, he's always capable of greatness. And he's just clipping along pretty good here. So they're one of the most effective passing teams. If Wilder is back and ready to go, he's a guy who's averages, I think, 99 yards a game since he's become a starter. So he's just... they are a dangerous team for sure, but looking at the Bombers and where they want to be, what level the Bombers want to be at this point in time, strolling into an Eastern team's home stadium, you got to go and win these games. You're a part of the upper echelon of the West. If you are, the West dominates the East. You have to go take care of business.
Yeah, and it was interesting at practice too, because normally when you head on the road to Saskatchewan or Edmonton, you pump the crowd noise up. The Bombers actually just had no noise all practice long to simulate what's going to happen at BMO Field.
Like a black hole of noise.
Yeah, it's just everyone quiet, everyone quiet.
I heard Darren Cameron had to record crickets and then put it on the speaker system at IGF. That's funny. That's and I guess that is a different environment for them to go into on the road, but it is a road game. I agree with you guys. This is a game they should win, but that's why I say there's some question marks. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm leaning towards what Toronto's been able to do and as they continue to fight. And I'm very interested to see in this matchup. And are you concerned about the offense at all?
No, I can't say I'm concerned about the offense. A little bit of a hiccup here. And I'm not concerned really whatsoever here about the Bomber offense. I think they'll be fine and dandy.
Well, Mike O'Shea was asked, actually, that same question, what he's hoping to see from the offense this week.
Well, I mean, we've gotten a win, so that's, that's important. I mean, really, the bottom line is if the offense can score enough points to allow us to win, then that's really all you want at the end of the day. You know, the film session afterwards to identify what you can do better is very important, but I think our offense knows they can play better than they did last week, but we won the game, and the other phases really stepped up and did a great job for us. So I don't think the offense is willing to allow the other phases to do it all by themselves again.
Here's one thing that you just knock on wood, and I hesitate to mention this, but it's a reality here. The Bombers have been so fortunate with injury this season, even with the recent struggles, or like with Dressler now losing Leggett and losing Darvin Adams, but only 61 man games lost to injury so far in 2017. The average CFL team has lost 207. So the Bombers are just way underneath that. And you just hope, like in these three games, as you continue to move forward here and sew up that home playoff game, go out, be aggressive, play hard, and continue to touch wood and get lucky with the injury bug, right? Like this is the time of season now where things can really get altered. And I know Leggett and Adams were sizable injuries, but I do believe the Bombers can get by those. But you just hope, and especially look at that old line, right? Every single game you've had the same guys trot out there and play at such a good level. Just keep touching wood and continue to be lucky with injuries.
If I'm Toronto, I focus on Andrew Harris. and I make Matt Nichols and the receiving core sort of beat us. Is that the way you would approach us? And I mean, of course, get to Matt Nichols. I think that D-line is going to be all over him. But, I mean, I think Andrew Harris is the key to this game, whether the Bombers win or they lose in Toronto.
Yeah, and here's the thing. The Toronto Argonauts lead the CFL in sacks. So they will be coming hard and probably causing all kinds of trouble. They lead the team in sacks and lead the league in sacks and lead the league in sacks allowed. So both ways there is a bit of a journey here for them. But I would suspect you're seeing some teams do this as well, right? To have a guy spying Andrew Harris. I believe BC had that on a couple of plays where it looked like someone just spying him, and when he leaked out for one of those sort of quick check down type passes, that someone was on him right away. So it's probably, especially when you have so much underneath and such a lateral type of a based offense, if you can take away such an important cog like that, that would be a good idea to shadow him and take it away.
Yeah, I thought BC gave the template. Having said that, though, not every team has Solomon Elamimian to be the eraser, right? Like it's easy to put into theory, but if you don't have a middle linebacker, now the Argos have Bear Woods.
Yeah.
Now, can he be that guy that Elamimian is? I guess we'll find out. But I think as long as Timothy Flanders is out, and I don't know if it's been confirmed or not, whether or not he's going to be in tomorrow, but that's kind of the reason I think the Bombers have been able to be so successful in that short passing yardage game, where Harris a lot of the times would play decoy, and you would have Flanders working in that short area, and he would have a matchup that the Bombers would like to exploit all the time. Now, with Flanders out, that limits a little bit of Andrew Harris in the passing game. So it would make it easier for a team to kind of spy and key on him. Timothy Flanders is kind of the X factor, I think, for this offense, where you just don't see CFL teams run that two running back set out of the backfield and have both of those guys capable of making plays in the passing game. So if Flanders gets back in, it'll make Andrew Harris's life a lot easier, and I think the Bombers' offense's life a lot easier as well.
Manuk Dentcher, Blue Bomber Game Day on TSN 1290 starts tomorrow at 1. Also this weekend, gentlemen, and I hate to bring up the old debate, but tonight Saskatchewan's in Calgary. Jerron Carter's going to play both sides of the ball. Should be interesting. Some people think the Riders are tanking in order to go over to the East. Winnipeg's in Toronto tomorrow at 3. Tomorrow at 9, Edmonton is in BC. And then Sunday at noon, Hamilton is in Montreal. And the age-old debate to me, and it has a little bit to do with how do you know in the preseason when you're making the schedule, but look at this Hamilton-Montreal game Sunday at noon. And how many people are going to watch that game?
Nobody.
And I know there's the diehard CFLers that don't watch NFL, but to me, not only is this a Sunday at noon game between the two worst teams literally in the standings in the CFL, but you also have that window Saturday night at 6. There's a game at 3 in Toronto. There's a game at 9 in BC. Mm-hmm. And 6 Central is 7 Eastern. Could you not move that game to Saturday night?
Yeah, you certainly think so, JT, and I agree 100% with you.
Yeah, they're just going to get slaughtered in the ratings. Maybe they look at the – yeah, I don't know. You can't go up against the NFL. I know you have CFL lifers, but you're just going to get slaughtered, and that's what's going to happen.
And personally, as a fan, and I am a big NFL fan, but – if I have a noon Sunday game, I love Sunday. I hope it's sunny. I like the October weather, blah, blah, blah. But a Saturday night 7 o'clock game is also my kind of style, where you can go out Saturday night, catch a game, do whatever after.
And I think especially, JT, if you can have like a Saturday of CFL football, come on, right? You go 3, 6, and 9, that makes all the sense in the
fans
world.
Fans across the country, Bombers watch the Bomber game, and then – you know, there's another game, and then there's a late-night game. And
I suppose, though, tomorrow night you'd be going against hockey, so there's something
to
take into consideration.
And especially in Montreal. Yeah, maybe that's the philosophy there is something we should consider, too. It's just something that I'm looking at the schedule going, wow, that's a game at noon on Sunday if you're a football fan in Montreal and you have a 4-11 team playing the 3-12 team. I just don't know.
That's ugly. That's an ugly situation.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll delve into the start of the NBA season. The Raptors kicked it off with a win, and of course, we know one of the teams in the World Series. That's next on The Big Show on an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets Game Day. Jets and Wild tonight at 7 on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN1290.
Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Wild tonight at 7. A little melting pot of topics here in this segment. We'll start with the NBA, and the Toronto Raptors open the season with a 117-100 victory over the Chicago Bulls at home. Valachunas with 23 points, 15 boards, and after the game said, "We changed our offense, we're moving the ball better, playing for each other, and I really like it. It's a lot of fun to play in this new offense." DeRozan only had 10 points, I think 11 points, and a couple helpers. He was dishing off all night long. And there's a couple Raptors who left in the offseason that said everybody's sort of out for themselves and that offense is awful and all this other stuff. And now we see this. It's only one game, but what do you expect from the Raptors this year? And are Valanciunas' comments a little shot at everybody who left town?
I don't really have much in expectations for the Toronto Raptors. I follow a little bit more towards Charles Barkley. And when he said, I got to basically all year have to lie here in front of you, knowing damn well it's coming down to Cleveland and Golden State. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what Toronto does. It doesn't matter what the hell they do.
No. Which is, I guess that's just life with LeBron. Like that's how it goes. I expect them to finish third or fourth in the conference and win a playoff series, but probably fall in the second round to either Cleveland or Boston. It's just kind of the hand they're dealt, but they were pretty outstanding last night, albeit against basically an AAU team in the Chicago Bulls. I mean, half the Raptors bench would be starting for the Bulls last night, so I wouldn't put too much stock into it. But they made some savvy additions over the summer. It just kind of sucks. It just feels fruitless. Like you could build a 50-win team, and it just feels like you're just falling more and more into quicksand.
Who do you like? Is it the Warriors this year? Do you think Cavs can San Antonio? Do you think Houston, who beat the Warriors on opening night in their own barn by 1 point? Or is it this year the Warriors to lose? Or can somebody actually unseat them this year?
I don't know what the Warriors are in Vegas or anything like that, but everyone's just basically handing this to the Warriors. If they don't suffer a couple of grave injuries, then who's going to get in their way?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, Houston went into their own barn on banner raising night and beat them by a point.
They lost their home opener last year, too.
By 25 to the Spurs. this is the NBA offseason is better than their regular season. That's the reality of the league right now. And if Golden State doesn't beat themselves, they're going to curb stomp every single team. Unless the Cavaliers make another trade to bring in somebody. I mean, they have that Brooklyn Nets pick as some extra ammo there. So unless they bring in somebody else, it's just really, really hard to see a way that the Golden State Warriors lose. I'm hoping for the Thunder to beat them personally, but I just don't think anybody's in their league right now.
Amari Cooper last night, Thursday Night Football for the Oakland Raiders, had over 11 catches, over 200 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And I also saw him drop at least 4 or 5 passes he should have caught. He has dropped so many passes this year. But the Oakland offense finally got on track, and they did it without Marshawn Lynch, who stormed onto the field, shoved a ref, got kicked out of the game, probably looking at a suspension now. But Oakland beats their division rival, the Kansas City Chiefs, to remain alive in that division. It's just their third win of the year. But, I mean, a dynamic game, very interesting, lots of scoring. But what do you make of the Oakland Raiders, and how big of a win is that for them in their season?
Well, it was monumental for sure. Puts them back on the map anyway of sort of posing and maybe puts them in a position to go and accomplish something in what's been a very disappointing season. From a larger sense, what's going on with Thursday night games? They were like garbage. People wanted nothing to do with them. And it's been 3 or 4 now that consecutively here that have just been super solid, and arguably they're right up there with the very best games of the week. Like, there's not going to be a game this week as entertaining as what was witnessed last night. So it's cool that these games Thursday nights that typically for a couple of years have been so disappointing, so difficult to watch, somehow that's all changed. And now they're amongst the most entertaining. So that's great news for fans of the NFL.
And expect it to continue next week because you got Smoking Jay against Elite Joe Flacco, Dolphins. Oh, God, no. Hey, we had a good run, right? But the Raiders needed that win badly. Badly, because their season was essentially on the line there. I've never seen an ending like that before.
I've never seen an ending.
Five final plays, something along those lines, and the Raiders almost got kind of the ultimate screw job there with the clock run down. Like, if there was a little less time, it would have been like the Lions Falcons earlier in the season when Detroit got job there on the goal line. Like, it had a bit of everything, and I didn't like a bunch of the penalty calls late either. I mean, the Crabtree push-off, you see that play. You see that play every single...
That was a push-off. And actually, there was a push-off the first... Was it the first Cooper touchdown for Oakland? That was a push-off.
That one,
as
to
well,
me, was way more of a push-off than the Crabtree one was.
I agree with what you're saying on the Crabtree one. You see it all the time. But that's my point, is you should be calling that all the time. Like, that happens so much that that's a penalty. That's an offensive penalty. I was surprised they called it because it does happen. The LA Dodgers beat the Cubs 11-1. They're going to the World Series for the first time since 1988. Enrique Hernandez. Who? Enrique Iglesias Hernandez had three bombs against the Cubs. They're moving on. We'll talk some baseball as the show goes on. But up next, it's the Royal Sports Power Hour. Jets genius returns. Dennis Bayak will join us to tee up Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Your first chance to qualify for Hockey Nights in Vegas. And Ed Tate from BlueBombers.com will kick it off for us next on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Stream us on the iHeartRadio app and all your favorite devices, or get a customized playlist to suit your mood or activity. Your music, your station's always free. Download the iHeartRadio app today and stream on The Big Show, TSN 1290, and the Royal Sports Power Hour. We have an absolutely packed hour for you. NHL news and notes at 45 past the hour, and another edition, our second one of Jets Genius. How well do you know your Jets? This week's question includes Captain Blake Wheeler. How well do you know Blake Wheeler?
I dig these questions too, man. They're off the cuff. They're a little bit out there.
It's personal. Like, you have to really know them. You think Blake Wheeler's a partier?
No.
Think he gives her?
Maybe back in his younger days.
Out there giving her. Go for a rip. You want to tune in for that Jets genius question. And some tickets on the line to a Jets home game. Dennis Bayak, the face of the Jets on TSN 3. And, of course, TSN 1290 is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We're going to hear from Paul Maurice a bit, as well as have your first chance to qualify for Hockey Nights in Vegas. But tomorrow, the Bombers are in Toronto. They're probably there right now, or on their way. They will take on the Argos at 3 p.m. Central. Manuk Dencher, Blue Bomber game day with Darren Bombing. Troy Westwood and Chris Walby goes at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. And to help us tee it up and to talk some blue and gold and some CFL, we welcome back to the program from BlueBombers.com. Mr. Ed Tate, how are you, sir?
Fantastic, fellas. How are you?
Doing well. And we're sort of looking at this game and maybe a couple weeks ago thinking, well, this is one they should win and everything else. But given the Maurice Leggett injury, given Darvin Adams is out, and given Matt Nichols and his hand, and seeing if it's at 100%, there are a few more questions around this game facing a 7-9 Argos team.
Yeah, that's a good point, Jim. You look at this one on paper and you think, just looking at the standings, that this should be one for the Bombers to win even on the road. But a whole lot of things have happened in the last little while that make this one serve up some juicier storylines than I think we would have thought of even last weekend before the injuries to Leggett and Adams. So it's been kind of a busy week around Bomberland, and we'll see what the team looks like tomorrow afternoon.
Ed, let us know what you know about Christopher Givens.
You know, we had a chance to talk to him a couple times this week, Troy, and the thing that really jumps out for me is that he's got 60 games of NFL experience, and so he's not the first guy to come up here with some games under his belt in the league. But he's really confident in a quiet, kind of cool way. He talked yesterday about having this kind of alter ego on game day. So during the week, he's Christopher Givens, and then as he explained it yesterday, once he puts the helmet on and one eye black, he transforms into CG, and he's kind of a take-no-prisoners guy out there on the field. So he's got good numbers, started a lot of games in the NFL. if that can translate, if he's still got some game, he hasn't played in over a year, then the Bombers might have found a pretty good replacement for some of the injuries. They've moved people all over the place this week at practice, but he looks comfortable in there. He's a thicker guy. It looks an awful lot, in a way, like a T.J. Thorpe, maybe a bit quicker. He's an intriguing piece and one that I'm going to really be keeping an eye on tomorrow.
Who intrigues you more, Ed, C.G. or Chris Givens?
Well, I don't know, because I've talked to Christopher. I haven't seen C.G. play, so we'll see. That's hard to say. We'll see him tomorrow and see what he can bring. Again, there's a quiet confidence with this guy that's, as a reporter, you need to talking to a guy that's not afraid to talk about, you know, this alter ego, and he's got all these layers to his personality. He's kind of cool.
You wonder the impact. Getting the Bombers have struggled a little bit offensively the last 3 weeks. Weston Dressler should help with that a lot.
Yeah, it's interesting, Troy, because at practice it's been primarily Dressler that's been in Darvin Adams' spot. Givens has been inside. They're moving people all over the place, as Paul LaPolice's offense often does. But that is going to be very interesting to see tomorrow, too. You guys have talked about it earlier when I was listening about the offensive struggles in the last little while. It's a very choreographed offense, very complicated, people and parts moving all over the place. And I thought last week, Matt Nichols kind of hinted at this after the game, even in victory, that some people weren't where they were supposed to be. And I think that's the byproduct of losing a Darvin Adams in the game, of not having Timothy Flanders, and they moved Julian Fioli-Godino inside from wide receiver. So that's a lot of change to an offense that had been humming along. And we'll see now again with more change. LaDainian Washington is in there now, and Dressler comes back, Givens his first game. Again, more change this week against an Argos defense that can really bring it. So people better be in the right place, because it's a very precise attack.
Does this defense rally without Maurice Leggett going down the stretch here, Ed, in your mind? And how do you feel about it? And how do they feel about it going in? Because, I mean, injuries happen, but what Mo Leggett means to this team is a little more than just what he brings to the field, I would think.
Yeah, you're right, Jim. There's so many plays he makes. You start to look at his stats and what he's brought. It's a guy that's been their top defensive player two of the last 3 years. He's just a playmaker. That's the word that everybody uses to describe him. So if you take him out of a defense that's been kind of all over the map, even in last week's win, kind of dominant against the Lions early, and they give up those two late scores. I mean, people talk about those being in garbage time, but they still were scores surrendered. When I was watching practice this week, there was all kinds of different looks and variations. So the easy thing to say is that Kevin Fogg comes in for Maurice Leggett at that outside linebacker spot, but it might become more of a situational defense, even more so than it was before, where you've got people coming in and out on the field depending on the down and distance and the situation on the field. So it's going to be tough to replace both those guys. Jamal Westerman, too, that's three big impact losses in the last little while. And I guess the silver lining to a little bit is that you get a Dressler back, and it looks like Ian Wild will be back tomorrow, too. So maybe you're treading water with an anvil a little bit, but you get some help a little bit with those two guys coming back.
Thoughts of the state of Ricky Ray's game and whether or not you think he comes back next year? He's 37 years old right now.
Yeah, the number, it's funny you would say that, Troy, because I was thinking about that yesterday. We've been sort of writing the Ricky Ray send-off for a while here, and yet he keeps getting it done. He's close to 5,000 yards throwing again this year, and boy, him and S.J. Green have just got this connection. I don't know what you do in Toronto, but the numbers keep piling up, and that's year one in Tressman's offense. It's hard not to think about what he could do, with another year under his belt and maybe better personnel around him. I would be very reluctant to get rid of him, but they better find his heir apparent and have him ready to go too, because he always seems to be one shot away from an injury. And at this stage in his career, as you said, 37 years old, that could be the last injury. But it's still impressive what he does. I don't think he zings it as well as he used to. But, man, there's nobody in the league that's better at putting the ball in the right place than Ricky Ray. And what him and S.J. Green have done this year is pretty impressive.
Ed Tate from BlueBombers.com joining us on the Royal Sports Power Hour here on the Big Show, 13 minutes past the hour on TSN 1290. Forgive me, Ed, is James Wilder Jr. back?
Yeah, it sounds like he is going to be, and boy, that's really changed the look of their offense because he's just a powerful runner, gives them another dimension, and they've got a better receiving core than I think they get credit for. They're deeper than just S.J. Green, and a lot of nice pieces, and the way Tressman uses it, them is pretty impressive. So with Wilder back there now too, that's a way to take some of the heat off a guy like Ricky Ray, who's sometimes this year has looked like he's been under siege.
Eddie, I thought Jim brought up a good point here where last week it looked like they had someone spying Andrew Harris for BC in a number of times during the course of the game. And I suppose if you're looking at the Bomber offense, how they typically don't go down the field there now without Darvin Adams, you would think that even more so would prompt a defensive coordinator to really target and focus on shutting down Andrew Harris and making Matt Nichols go to some targets maybe he's not as familiar with.
Yeah, that's a good point, Troy. Earlier in the week, I talked to Andrew about that, about whether if the Lions had defended him differently, and he said that, especially when he came out as a receiver, they were bracketing him. I think, as you mentioned earlier, they were paying more attention to him as a ball carrier, too. And so I asked him, you know, does it seem like teams now are going to say basically to the Bombers, we're going to take Andrew Harris out of your offense and try to beat us with the rest of your guys. And I think that's a little bit what happened last week, especially after the injury to Darvin Adams. So it's up to guys like Chris Givens to get up to speed in a hurry. I think putting Dressler in Darvin Adams' spot, he's not necessarily the big, deep threat that's going to win a lot of 50-50 balls, but that's a savvy vet out there that's going to, you know where to go, and him and he and Matt Nichols have such a good chemistry. That's an intriguing kind of trade-off. But there's a blueprint that the Lions put into play last week as to how to defend the Bombers with Andrew Harris getting 15 to 20 touches, let's say. And so you wonder what they could do with him being shadowed almost and how the Bombers counter that.
Well, lastly, Ed, I know Mike O'Shea, I know the coaching staff, I know maybe even Andrew Harris isn't too focused on getting the 1,000 and 1,000 rushing receiving. But you have to believe that those players want to do it.
Oh, absolutely. It's a really cool thing. I mean, it's been done a couple of times in the NFL by Marshall Faulk and Roger Craig, I believe. Never been done in this league. And I think it is kind of a neat feather in the cap for not just Andrew Harris, but the whole offense. And but I don't think you go out of the way to get it. I think they want to secure this last win to make sure they have the home playoff game. And then I know that Mike O'Shea has talked about not resting guys in that last game against Calgary if it doesn't mean anything. But at the same time, I think he still wants to win games. And you know, I don't think you go out and chase this thing. If it comes kind of naturally, then you know everybody's high-fiving each other. But I don't know if Andrew Harris needs 140 yards receiving in the last game of the year. I'm not sure that he's going to finish a game with 15 receptions or something like that in a chase of that.
Great stuff as always, Ed. Thanks for doing this and enjoy the game tomorrow.
Yeah, appreciate it, boys. Have a good day.
Thanks so much, Ed.
Ed Tate from BlueBombers.com. Manuk Dencher, Blue Bomber game day tomorrow at 1, right here on TSN at 1290. Your first chance to qualify for Hockey Nights in Vegas is next on the Royal Sports Power Hour on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
You heard the man. TSN 1290 and RedTag.ca present Hockey Nights in Vegas. We need another qualifier. The 12th caller through at 780-1290. We're sending five lucky listeners and their guests to Las Vegas this November, where they'll see the Winnipeg Jets take on the Vegas Golden Knights Friday, November the 10th at T-Mobile Arena. We'll supply return airfare to and from Las Vegas. Free parking at the Winnipeg Richardson International Airport, courtesy of Park and Fly. Two tickets to the Jets and Golden Knights at the T-Mobile Arena on Friday, November the 10th. Four nights accommodations right on the strip. And TSN 1290 will give you $1,290 in cash to help you cover a few extras during your stay. I always wonder during that segment if people wish we were TSN 5K. You see what I'm doing going there?
Yeah, yeah. That's a tougher thing for the sales guys to and the promo people to deal with.
Too bad this station wasn't TSN 9500. $1,290 cash for you as well to help make your stay go a little bit smoother. Listen for your chance to qualify and win weekdays at 7:15 a.m., 8:15 a.m. right here on The Big Show on TSN 1290, 12:15 p.m. with Kevin Hrushevsky on the Don Vito Roundtable, and 5:15 p.m. on the Afternoon Ride with Hustler and Rick Ralph. Also watch for bonus chances to qualify online. Winners will be announced Monday mornings here in The Big Show, and our next grand prize announcement is this Monday, October the 23rd. So make sure you get in and qualify if you can. And then the last, fifth, and final grand prize draw will be on Monday, November the 6th. For more information, check out tsn1290.ca. It's Hockey Nights in Vegas, presented by redtag.ca, where Canada shops for great travel deals, and us here at TSN 1290. Mr. Rewicki, who is our 12th caller through and latest qualifier for Hockey Nights in Vegas?
It is Sean Funk.
Sean Funk! Bring on the funk.
Funky.
We want the funk. Gotta have the funk. How are you, Sean?
I'm doing good. You?
Good, thank you. Are you like rolling your eyes right now and going, Toth, I heard that for my whole life. That's enough.
No, I'm just happy I made it through finally.
Excellent. Well, congratulations. Just for doing so, you have won a Jets Gear gift card, and you're in for our final two grand prize draws, including Monday, October 23rd, this Monday, and November the 6th. Have you been to Vegas before?
Never.
Never?
No.
You didn't bring the funk to Sin City?
No, haven't been there yet.
Do you know who you'd be taking with you?
Definitely my wife.
Your wife? Has she been to Vegas before?
Yeah, she has.
Wow. So she can sort of guide you around and show you,
yeah.
And keep you on the straight and narrow, if you will.
You bet.
Awesome stuff. Game tonight, Jets Wild. What do you think?
I'd like to see Lemieux put up a goal or two. I understand he's in the lineup, hey?
Yes, he's making his NHL debut tonight.
You know, I can't stand watching the Wild. I really don't. So I hope we just thump him tonight.
There you go. The Funk wants a thump on the Jets and the Wild tonight. Hey, Sean, we really appreciate you listening to TSN 1290. Wish you the best of luck. Thanks for qualifying. You'll get that Jets Gear gift card. And listen on the 23rd and the 6th. Perhaps we'll be drawing your name.
Thanks. You guys are the best.
All right. All the best, Sean. Thanks for doing that. Sean Funk is our latest qualifier. We'll do it again at 8:15 today here on The Big Show.
The Wild ain't that boring team that they used to be, or at least a lot of people, even the last couple of years, thought that. And I kind of held on to that for a while as well. Like, they're third in scoring right now in the NHL, and they're actually pretty damn dynamic offensively. They wheel up and down pretty good, and they will even with these injuries.
They're like the Devils of the early 2000s, right? Like they got stamped with the trap, I guess, nameplate. But New Jersey, when they won the Cup one of those years, led the league in scoring. Minnesota led the West in scoring last year.
Yeah, they are banged up for sure and injured, but this is a division rival and still a very, very solid team. Kevin Hrushevsky will have the latest from the morning skates on the Don Vito Roundtable starting at 11 o'clock today, but we'll continue to break it down for you as well, including, as Sean Funk says, he's looking forward to seeing Brendan Lemieux's debut. Here's head coach Paul Maurice on Lemieux making his National Hockey League debut tonight against the Wild.
Everybody gets the canned speech, yeah. Pretty exciting for anybody. Anybody grew up in a hockey life and certainly values this opportunity. He's practiced well here. I saw his last Moose game. He played really well. So we're looking for some energy on those third and fourth lines. And if he plays his game, he should be able to bring that.
And here's head coach Paul Maurice on what Lemieux brings to the lineup tonight.
Well, he's got a physical presence to his game, and the big change for Brendan is speed. You know, he worked hard this summer. He changed his body composition. He did a lot of really, really good work, so he's faster.
I don't think, he's faster, great. That gives him a chance in the league, but it's not like he's going to stand out here with speed. I hope he makes an impact somehow. In the preseason, he was out in the ice, and within 10 seconds, he had two hits, so hopefully he's an agitator, and go draw some penalties, right? Don't take any penalties. Go draw some penalties, and maybe just by chance they're able to do. He's able to go and do something out there. You wonder how much ice time with Mathias in the middle of Lemieux and Patani is going to get tonight, though.
Yeah, and he's coming in for Marco Dano. So here's what head coach Paul Maurice was asked what he needs to see from Dano.
Well, Marco's good at a couple things. The first is he's a really strong guy when he gets there. He can knock the puck down, and he creates that offensive zone time. And he just hasn't gotten there enough to have that happen. So we're working on, you know, in practice days on his quickness, on his first three strides, that burst. So before practice and after practice, he does that. We're going to try to get him faster and quicker. The game is faster again this year than it was last year, than it was the year before, right? So it changes for all of these players how you evaluate them. He's got to get to where he needs to get to faster, and so we've got to help him get a little quicker.
Minnesota's tough. I know that right now they've only got four games played, and they're 1-1-2. I believe a couple of their losses, they had leads in the third period, and they just kind of fell apart a little bit. But Minnesota, even with their injuries right now, they're going to be dang tough. This is a huge game for the Jets to get back on track. And with the schedule that the Jets have, I was saying in a week time, you know, I don't be surprised at all. If the Jets don't straighten things out, they're going to be in last place in the Central here over the next week or so. So there's no screwing around here. They got to get back on track.
I agree. This is a big game, and not just because it's a divisional game, but coming off that Columbus and the way you played, you need to sort of turn this around. You need to get this win, and you need to go into next week feeling good about yourself. I think obviously big because it's division and there are no easy games, but to me, with a depleted Minnesota Wild lineup coming in, and you still, as you said, can't take them lightly, but the way you're coming off the Columbus thing, 3-3 divisional game, they're banged up, you're at home. This is one of those games that you have to take another step forward towards and get it on home ice, in my mind. We'll get Dennis Bayak's thoughts on it next on the Royal Sports Power Hour on the Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki on the Royal Sports Power Hour on the Big Show on TSN 1290 on an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Wild tonight at 7. Paul Edmonds, Brian Munns will have the call right here. Full pre and post live from Boston Pizza City Place. This next segment is brought to you by Olympic Building Center. And in our next segment, Jets Genius returns for the second week involving Captain Blake Wheeler. How well do you know the personalities of your Winnipeg Jets? We'll get into that, as well as have your NHL news and notes. To help us tee up an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day, the face of the Jets on TSN 3 and one of our main voices here on 1290, Dennis Bayak, joins the show once again. Good morning, sir.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. It's game day. It's always good on game day.
And is it a little more amped up being the first divisional game of the year?
I think it is. When you look at how close the division's expected to be, at least that's what the projections are, and we have no reason to believe that they won't be. I think every divisional game is important, and yet not the end of the world. As we saw last year, the Winnipeg Jets had a great division record, and yet couldn't find a way to find a playoff spot. So they had trouble with the Minnesota Wild last year, and it's expected to be a real good rivalry between these two teams again, so let's get it on.
Dennis, the injury to Mathieu Perreault makes it difficult, but if you were to project like 2-3 games down the line here, and if that bottom six for the Jets continue to struggle with no 5-on-5 production, would that at some point in time, would Paul Maurice be forced to spread out something along the likes of Scheifele, Wheeler, Little, Laine, Ehlers? Would you have to trickle something down into the third line to try and inject some production?
Well, some of that, I think, will get dictated by how Kyle Connor plays here. I mean, if Kyle Connor continues to be a good fit with Mark Scheifele and Blake Wheeler, then when Mathieu Perreault does get back, and we've seen Mathieu Perreault on that third line before with Adam Lowry and Joel Armia, so, there certainly gives the coach some options. I'm not sure if forced would be maybe the right word, but certainly it's an option that he would look at, and why not? The more balance you can get in your top nine, and we still talk a lot about top six and bottom six, but the game, and we've seen it from the Winnipeg Jets in the past, we've seen it from other teams, the game really is revolving more into a top nine. You need production, and you just talked about it, you need production certainly from your top nine, You can probably get away with maybe your fourth line not scoring as much as your other lines do, obviously, because they have different roles and are different players. But I think you need scoring from your top nine, there's no doubt. So if this team can get healthy and get balanced, you know, then you start looking down the middle where that's probably going to be a strength. You're going to have Mark Scheifele, you're going to have Brian Little, Adam Lowry, Matt Hendricks. Then you start filling in the Patrick Lyonnais and the Blake Wheelers and the Nikolai Ehlers and everybody else that goes along with it. And you could end up with three fairly solid lines and four fairly consistent lines. So that's the hope. But the hope is that everybody stays healthy and gets healthy. And as we know in today's NHL, that's not that easy.
And, you know, Dennis, you're talking about the debate that we're hearing all year about the top nine and all that, but I sort of made the point this morning that regardless of who you're talking about in that six or seven or eight guys that have been in and out in the lineup and turned around, they all just need to start producing. Like, you just need it from, regardless of how you want to put it together and mix it together, you need something from those guys who literally, at the most, have 1 point from the odd guy.
Well, and that's what the coaches try and do, and I know they get criticized or at least critiqued for it. You know, Nick Batan, the plan the other night going into the game was that Nick Batan was going to see some power play time on the top power play. Well, the Jets had a 6-second power play in that game. So there goes that plan, delayed by another game. So if they can get some power plays in this game tonight, that is the plan. And why are they doing it? Certainly to help the power play, but they want to try and get Nick Batan going. They want him to be an offensive-type player, responsible defensively, but they know there's offensive talent there. So that's what coaches do. Coaches try and get the best out of players. Coaches don't bench players because they don't like players or that player wouldn't be here. And, you know, coaches want to win. Coaches want players to succeed. It all goes hand in hand, and hopefully the Jets get some power plays tonight and Nick Batan can do some things in the power play that gets his confidence level up, which in turn helps the team.
And what do you expect from Brendan Lemieux? We know that he's an agitator and all kinds of penalty minutes last year for the Moose, but he's matured a little bit and just keep it within the boundaries and go stir it up a little bit.
Yeah, Troy, you're right. Matured might be the word there. You have to realize that that role is becoming more and more difficult to play. It's tough to be an agitator now. You get nights where officials simply aren't going to put up with it. Some officials will put up with it a little more than others because that's their makeup. You know, and that's something that he might have to learn around the NHL a little bit, that there's a time and place. But certainly he brings energy. He goes to the net. He has skills. He can shoot the puck. He can skate. He's lighter than he was last year. He's faster than he was last year. And the challenge for him is going to be to not get over-exuberant and spend time in the penalty box because now you're being counterproductive and now you're giving the coach a reason to not put you out there. So, you know, that's not it's not an easy role, but he certainly brings something that that the Jets feel they need right now, and that's a little bit of agitation, a little bit of fire me up, and let's get going here, a little bit of drive the net, a little bit of getting under the opposition skin, and he brings that, but there's that fine line, and that's what he's going to have to learn to ride, that fine line between doing what the rules and the referees will allow and stepping over that line, and now you're causing your team some difficulties.
Connor Hellebuyck back in net tonight for the Jets, and I know that they have to keep Steve Mason, and Steve Mason will be a big part of this season, but also they need wins. What are you expecting from Hellebuyck after taking a night off?
Well, you know, I know there's been lots of talk, and that's what this game is all about, and about Steve Mason playing the other night, but the schedule changes here. I mean, as of this stretch here where they're in a stretch of two games in 11 days, they now go next week. They go to Pittsburgh, Columbus, home to Pittsburgh. Dallas is here. They play 4 and 6 nights. You've got to be careful that you don't run Connor Hellebuyck to the point where he now becomes fatigued. You also have to look at the point. They could have played him the other night, could have played him tonight. Fatigue certainly would have been an issue. Now, all of a sudden, you get into 4 and 6 nights, and Steve Mason hasn't played in 3 weeks. And now you need him to kind of win a game for you. So that's the fine balance. You know, Connor Hellebuyck has had success against the Minnesota Wild. His first win came in Minnesota. His first NHL shutout came against the Wild in Minnesota. So he knows the team a little better than Steve Mason would. Connor Hellebuyck deserves to be in the net tonight simply because of what he's done in his three starts. So good on him. I've really, you know, noticed a change in Connor Hellebuyck from a confidence level. You know, he's gained some experience. He's more open now with the media, more willing to engage in conversation. But on the ice is where it matters, and I think he's challenging more. He's standing up more, making himself bigger in net, and that confidence just grows with every game, and that's what this game is all about, getting experience and getting more comfortable with the game you play.
Dennis, the Wild have struggled out of the gate. They've given away a couple of third-period leads. But still, and even with their injuries right now, still a very dangerous and deep organization with a real strong coaching staff. Your thoughts on maybe overall just what you expect from the Wild this year?
Well, they're a deep team. I mean, yes, they do have some guys banged up. We'll see what happens at the morning skate today, whether a couple of guys are back. There is talk that Foligno might be back, Granlund might be back in the lineup, so that'll certainly be good news for them. You know, and it wouldn't be as critical the way they've lost games if it wasn't for the fact of how they've lost them, because they've had the leads and they haven't been able to hold them. And in today's NHL, that's the key to success, is if you've got that lead, you're not giving it up and you're going to nail that game down, and stats will prove that's usually the case. And the Minnesota Wild, their record, if you go back over the last number of years, because they do know how to lock the game down, their record when they have the lead going into the third period is impeccable. And they've had a couple of bumps in the road this year, but still a team that is very dangerous, dangerous on the power play. They still have a couple guys on the back end that can do some great things with the puck. You know, so you have to be careful how you play them. They play a very patient game, and that's something that the Winnipeg Jets are still trying to master, is to play that patient game. Don't keep forcing the puck, because the Wild will get you to turn it over, and they're more offensive than what they were. We talked about that last year when Bruce Boudreau came in. That was one of the things he wanted to do, was to make them a little more of an offensive team. They had 266 goals, I think, last year, which was a franchise high. And coming off a franchise year, Devan Dubnyk hasn't been off to the start that he wants, but numbers will tell you that that's going to change, so certainly it's going to be a handful night for the Winnipeg Jets. But you know what? It's a good rivalry between these two teams, and the games always seem to end up being good games.
Dennis Bayak joining us on the Royal Sports Power Hour on the Big Show, TSN 1290, 42 minutes past the hour. It is an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day, Jets and Wild tonight. Dennis, in the six games of this season, not too much has shocked me, but what has surprised me with the Jets is just how you've seen so much in those six games. The Edmonton game, to me, was probably one of the best games I've seen in maybe over a year from the Jets. And then you have the first two of the year, and then the other two, and then the one against Columbus. Are you concerned at all, or maybe what stands out to you just in what you've seen in the six games so far?
Well, it kind of seems to be the way of the National Hockey League a little bit in the early going. I mean, Edmonton snaps a four-game losing streak last night. Montreal, when you look at that lineup and you say to yourself, we knew they were going to have trouble scoring, but you certainly didn't think they were going to have trouble keeping the puck out of their own net, and yet that's been an issue for them. And you go around the National Hockey League, the New York Rangers having trouble finding wins, and you knew that Arizona was going to struggle, but maybe not to this point. So it's kind of been that kind of a start in the National Hockey League, and you're right, we have seen that. We've seen games that have been all over the place. You know, you go back to the opening game against Toronto, there was about three different games inside that game, and then into Calgary, same thing, first half, second half, totally different. You go into Edmonton, where the Oilers are struggling and in the early going aren't playing the way the coach wants them to. You expect, you know, a real good game there from both teams, and it turned out there was. And Edmonton, even inside that game, the Jets are up 2-0, Oilers come back, and it's 2-2 in 40 seconds, and then it's 4-2 in a minute and 9 seconds. So that seems to be the way of the National Hockey League. You got so many different styles that maybe more this year than ever before. For the last number of years, you got so many different styles. You got teams that still don't have the offensive talent that are trying to lock it down. You've got teams that have offensive players and are trying to let them do their thing a little bit more and be creative you know, it's made it for interesting times, there's no doubt. I think it's made pre-scouting a little bit interesting, because from night to night, you're getting different teams. But for the Winnipeg Jets, it's still back, and they talked about it after the game the other night. It's finding that consistency, and it's not only them. I think every team in the league is trying to find that. and you want that because they knew in that game the other night against Columbus Blue Jackets that for whatever reason, whether they were expecting some kind of a different game from Columbus, I don't think they were because they talked about it in the morning as to what to expect from Columbus. But sometimes you go into a game and you expect it to be a little easier than it is, and there's no easy games in the National Hockey League, and the next thing you know, you find yourself behind the eight ball, and now you're starting to push the game and chase the game and do things that you really shouldn't. But it's that consistency that they're working on, and sometimes when you get into a busier schedule, if you're playing well, it's easier to do that nightly on a nightly basis, but that's not the way the schedule is. Take advantage of the fact that you've got a bit of a break here and come out tonight with a better effort.
Dennis, we really appreciate your time as always. Enjoy the game tonight, but I highly encourage you to stay tuned. You might find out something you didn't know about Blake Wheeler in our Jets Genius contest.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's
a good question.
It's a very good segment because there's a lot about these players that we don't know. a lot about ourselves we don't know some days.
I discover something new about myself every day.
Really? Maybe you guys should do that.
We should.
The three of you.
The one thing I'll never be aligned with is a genius. So,
well, there you go. See, I can do the intro for you guys. The one thing you never knew about Brandon Rowicki or Troy Westwood or Jim Toth.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dennis. Take care, man.
And some things you should never know. All the best, Dennis.
All weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, you too. Have a great call tonight on TSN 3. Dennis Bayak here on the Big Show on the Royal Sports Power Hour. NHL news and notes next, and the return of Jets genius. That's next on the Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Back on the Royal Sports Power Hour, Jim Toll, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki with you on an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Wild tonight on TSN 1290. And here's your next way to get tickets to tonight's game.
TSN 1290, your home of the Winnipeg Jets, presents Jets Genius!
Yes! Stick flex right. 75 provides 100 pounds of force for maximum sparring.
It's just me, or does it feel like we should be taking off our clothes when this music comes on?
What?
An honest question.
There was still 10 seconds left in it, and we had to stop because you're an idiot.
Come on, fellas.
What? Tarps on.
Tarps on.
How well do you know your favorite team, and are you a Jets genius? You can win tickets to tonight's Jets home game versus the Minnesota Wild simply by texting the word JETS, followed by the correct answer to today's Jets Genius question to 129090. That's JETS, followed by your answer to 129090. Okay, keep your tarps on and let's play!
Hi, this is Blake Wheeler of your Winnipeg Jets, and here's today's TSN 1290 Jets Genius question.
Thank you, Blake! For coming on down, we asked Blake Wheeler, what is your go-to party jam? Blake Wheeler, what is your go-to party jam? Did he say Return of the Mac by Mark Morrison? Brass Monkey by the Beastie Boys? Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy by Big and Rich? Which is just good life advice, not just a good tune. Or You Shook Me All Night Long by AC/DC? What is Blake Wheeler's go-to party jam? Return of the Mac, Mark Morrison. Brass Monkey by the Beastie Boys. Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy by Big and Rich. Or You Shook Me All Night Long.
That's a heck of a range right there.
By AC/DC. Huh? It's all over the map. Text Jets and the correct answer to 129090 right now, and you could win tickets to tonight's Jets home game at Bell MTS Place. Standard message rates apply for text entry requests, and we'll be back shortly with Blake's answer. All right, we're playing Jets Genius. Fire away, people. What do you think it is? A couple different genres of music there.
I'm going with Big and Rich myself.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Big and Rich, Save a Horse, Ride a
Cowboy. I'll go Return of the Mac.
Return of the Mac?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
You think so?
I'm going kind of like a similar age. to when it would have been kind of when he was in high schoolish, college, I think.
Huh.
I don't know if he's a country guy. I don't know if he's a country guy.
Maybe at a frat house somewhere a Gophers game.
You think he might be more funk/R&B sort of thing than country?
Yeah that's what I'm feeling.
Really?
Yeah.
I wanted to go with You Shook Me All Night Long, but I'm afraid that if I ever were at a party with Blake Wheeler and You Shook Me All Night Long, come on, he may roll his eyes and go, how old is this party? So I don't know. Our last segment with Dennis Bayek was a presentation of Olympic Buildings. Buildings straightforward or complex, it's what they do best. Tour their projects at olympic-buildings.ca. That's olympic-buildings.ca. And, of course, text your answers in to Jets Genius. Text Jets in your answer. Return of the Mac, Brass Monkey, Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy, or You Shook Me All Night Long. We'll give you a couple minutes to get those in, and then we will pick a winner from the right answer.
You guys have the same sort of feeling going into the game tonight as you did going into the Edmonton game after the very disappointing first two games for the Jets. It's like, uh-oh. And then they came out and they make that a great response game against Edmonton. But I have that same sort of daunting black cloud sort of feeling tonight, boys. I'm trying to fight it and push it away, but I just...
My feeling going into the Edmonton game was they were going to play better. Two disastrous games.
They couldn't play
Nobody
worse.
Would, yeah, well, that's a great point. And Paul Maurice wasn't happy and the players weren't happy. I thought they would play better, but I didn't know if they would get a win. I didn't expect them to get a win against the Oilers. Now, we've seen how the Oilers have struggled. So tonight, I don't feel the same as that. I don't know if this team needs to win this game. This is a season we've talked all summer long about next steps, and this is one of the next steps. You're 3-3. You've seen a little bit of everything. This is a divisional rival. You're at home. You've had 2 days off, and they're banged up. To take another step, in my mind, for this team, you have to start winning these games. I know Minnesota's given them hassles for a long time. I expect them to win this game. They should go out and win this game tonight.
Yeah, I can't look at the first six games and then predict success for the team. Mm-hmm. Like I have to go on what I've seen so far, and what I've seen's been, it's been pretty underwhelming. So I'm not expecting a whole lot tonight, to be honest with you. And I don't think we're going to get a whole lot of offense, and I don't think it's going to be because of a defensive masterpiece. I just think the Wild are going to shut things down, and the Jets aren't going to be able to get a whole lot of offense going, and we'll see a 2-1 sort of slugfest game that's not a whole lot of pretty to watch, but
Minnie's averaging 3.75 in their four games, bro.
Yeah.
And their power play's clipping along at 28.6. Now, that ain't probably going to stay, but even last year, they had the ninth best power play in the NHL going at 21%. So they've got, like, that's what I'm concerned. This is almost like structure versus something that erodes into a lack of structure at certain times. And you just kind of wonder, at those points in the time in the game here, and if the Jets are out there trying to do a bunch, and if they... You know, if they go to the sin bin a few times, it's of concern.
What do you guys expect from the Wild? Like, we're talking Jets as we should be. What do you expect from this lineup tonight? You said the goals and everything. What do you
still look at them? They're still deep. Right? They still look super dangerous. I love watching a team like the Wild. I think they're exceptionally well coached, and they're all, to me, they're invested. They're bought in. They're a disciplined team. You often remember that there's been a couple times we've seen the Wild really expose and take advantage of weaknesses the Jets had defensively. And I wonder, like, often we'll see a guy lingering behind, splitting the defense, long exit passes out of their zone, those sorts of things. And I expect to see more of those types of plays, where I certainly expect to see more scoring chances for the Wild tonight than I am for the Jets. And the Wild to protect against them considerably better than the Jets are going to.
It's pretty wild that the Wild have been able to score at all, really, when you have right now four forwards, you know, four legit top nine forwards out of the lineup, and three of them are, you know, you have Granlund, Coyle, and Niederreiter. Mm-hmm. So that's three, half your top six for sure is out of the lineup, and they're still able to produce. They're going to be fast. It's basically what you expect from a Bruce Boudreaux coach team. They're going to be fast. They're going to be tough, and they're going to be hard to play against. And I think my biggest concern would be, will the Jets struggle with the speed of the Minnesota Wild? We've seen this team struggle, and they had their hands full against Columbus. I don't think it'll be to that level, what we saw from the Blue Jackets, but I think the Wild will bring the pace, and I wonder how the Jets respond.
Yeah, one thing I know for sure will come from the Wild is at one point Bruce Boudreaux will be absolutely dumbfounded by a call. He'll just be like, what the? What? Before we leave NHL news and notes, I wanted to get this to this. The Calgary Flames lost 2-1 to Carolina at home last night, basically on some penalties. Glenn Gullickson, this is from Kristen Odlum, who is a writer in Calgary Media Market and a frequent guest here on TSN 1290. This is their head coach, Glenn Gullickson, last night postgame. It feels like to me it's the same guys taking penalties, the same type of penalties. Those guys are going to dress, but unfortunately they're going to lose some of their game prime real estate ice time. We'll just clean it up with the guys that can control themselves. What's disappointing is we're going to we're doing the exact same things we should have learned from last year. We're right back to where we started. Hopefully it doesn't take us 15 games to get out of it. Glenn Gullickson from the Flames. We'll comment on that later in the program, but up next we get back into the Bombers and the Argos. Jeff Hamilton joins us next on the Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Back on the Big Show, TSN 1290 at TSN1290.ca. Jets Genius. Don't forget to get your answers in. Text 129090. And what you text to 129090 with standard message rates applying is Jets. And then your answer to what Blake Wheeler's go-to party jam is. Return of the Mac, Mark Morrison. Brass Monkey by the Beastie Boys. Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy by Big and Richer. You Shook Me All Night Long. Text to 129090. We got a pair of tickets to tonight's Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Will get you to the Minnesota Wild and the Winnipeg Jets tonight, 7 o'clock at Bell MTS Place. We got lots to get to in this hour as well. Your second chance to qualify is coming up for Hockey Nights in Vegas. We are also going to give you, bestow on you, a six pack of picks in which you may want to just go put on a point spread ticket of some sort and give yourself a whirl and a chance to make NFL Sunday more exciting and maybe win a couple extra shekels. It's something we're going to start doing today, I think, for the first time. We'll just have a new beginning here on the show and start fresh.
We are due to catch in one of these suckers.
Sure. So do. We'll also tee up the Boss Pizza fan line, take an hour of your calls, some lineup changes, and also the Bombers and the Argos. Who do you have in this game? Manuk Denture, Blue Bomber game day tomorrow at 1 on TSN 1290. And, of course, the Argos and the Bombers will kick off in Toronto at 3 o'clock to help talk about it. And the Blue and Gold, we welcome back to the program Mr. Jeff Hamilton from the Winnipeg Free Press. How are you, sir?
Not bad, gentlemen. Bestow, Jim. What is this, the classy hour?
Yes. Sometimes
I like the vocab.
Sometimes I use words in the wrong places because my thinking thoughts aren't where they should be and my brain functions. So when I do know the proper vernacular, is that a good word?
Yeah. I don't know. I figured it was just bees and toe that you've accidentally put together.
Jeff, what do you think of the Bombers and how they'll do against the... you know, first we'll start with this. Really interesting across Canada to hear the thoughts on Gord Downie, who passed away at the age of 53, but especially for Mike O'Shea, Ontario guy, and the comments he made this week really is no different than a lot of us on how we feel about the hip and Gord Downie.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It is kind of interesting, I'll use that word, to talk about how big of a sports story it's become over the last couple of days. I mean, obviously with Gord Downie's affinity to hockey and hockey obviously being big in Canada and Canada being big with Gord Downie and how big of an icon he was in the country. It's just, you know, obviously a sad day for all fans, including music and hockey fans who listen to him. And I think one of the, you know, the comments that you heard many a times, including Bombers head coach Mike O'Shea, was, I think, resonates with a lot of people that the Tragically Hip, whether you were a diehard fan and went to ton of their shows or were just kind of, you know, a laissez-faire fan with it, you know, they were kind of in the background for all those big moments and, you know, just listening to one of their greatest hit songs. A lot of people who maybe didn't listen to them probably were a bigger fan than they know.
Hammer, seeing your piece in the Free Press today, talking a little bit about TJ Heath, kind of forgetting about that trade of the century or one of the best trades ever for the Bombers in sending Willie away. and picking up T.J. Heath and as well as the first pick and all the rest of it that came this way. But he's fit in real nicely into this community.
Yeah, and it's crazy to think that he's been such a mainstay here, obviously, since that trade and again this season. And to think that this is his first trip back to Toronto, it just seemed kind of weird. It seemed too far away from when the trade happened. But, certainly a guy who's made a name for himself here. And from the story, continues to make a name for himself among fans. It's pretty interesting that, you know, he kind of goes on a Twitter hunt and talks to people after games and ends up eating dinner at their places. You know, no shortage of meals for that guy. So obviously a guy who, has taken advantage of his position here, of his fame, if you will, and is really just a huge staple on the defense and locks down that boundary side with Chris Randle, arguably the best 1-2 punch, I would argue, in the CFL.
Lots of people on my Twitter offer me several things, but none of them include a dinner.
It's all poisonous cookies for you, Jim.
Next man up is another great piece you have, because that's what we've been hearing a lot with Mo Leggett going down and Darvin Adams going down. And what do you think of next man up, both Kevin Faugh and Chris Givens?
Yeah, you know, those are two guys where I think you can ask the question now, if the Bombers could win the Grey Cup without Maurice Leggett or without Darvin Adams. I mean, I think a lot of people would doubt that. Those are the replacements, at least that's what we think it is. Chris Givens in for Darvin Adams, another big body. A guy who, you know, although has a pedigree in the NFL at a certain point, 5 touchdowns, 107 receptions, and, you know, 1,700 yards over 60 games. That's a lot of experience for NFL guys that come up to the CFL. So we'll see how he can do. I mean, we've seen guys in the past like Mike Sims-Walker. I think a lot of people drafted him, you know, in the first or second round in their NFL fantasy drafts, and then he played for the Bombers a couple of years after his career fizzled out in the NFL. And was kind of irrelevant. So, I mean, you got to kind of hold your judgment until you see him. As for Maurice Leggett, I mean, he's another guy who, you know, there's the argument that because he's a strong side linebacker, it's one of the most difficult positions to replace. You need to be versatile. You need to be able to get in the box and stop the run. You also need to be able to drop into coverage, probably more importantly. And some people suggest that that's a position that the Bombers use for playmaking, and so that, you know, Maurice Leggett has just benefited from maybe that, but I'd argue that you need to be a playmaker to make those plays. So Kevin Faugh is coming off a playmaking game. You know, he's had an interesting career with the Bombers, kind of jumped off the page last season and then kind of fizzled out with injuries and lost his starting position. That included this year where he started the year, sidelined to injuries. So, I think what the Bombers are focused on most is the coverage scheme. They've been throwing a ton of things at the board this week and kind of last week as well, even with Maurice Leggett in. And it's rushing 3 and dropping 9 and doing a lot of different, you know, creative things. So it's going to be tough to see how this team, you know, bounces back from those big losses. I think those guys that are taking their place are drop-offs, but maybe not significant drop-offs perhaps, or at least the Bombers are hoping for. But, you know, you can't really tell until you see the live bullets, and we'll get a good look at that tomorrow.
Jeff, looking at the league tonight, and specifically with Saskatchewan going into Calgary, I mean, Dron Carter is worth the price of admission to watch as a receiver, but if he's going to be starting at corner, that makes it absolute must-watch tonight.
And what if he does good? I mean, what if he goes out there and gets an interception? What if he is the guy who can play on both sides of the ball? I mean, you know, scanning and surveying the Bombers yesterday, particularly the DBs, you know, not one guy was really, you know, didn't raise an eyebrow or didn't think this is an experiment that's going to go terribly wrong. But, you know, Jerron Carter, I can totally see, I don't know what the writers are thinking with this move, but I can totally see Jerron Carter losing his mind in practice and saying a few things about how he could play on both sides of the ball. And then the head coach goes, okay, you know, I mean, if we're going to, how do we stop this guy from running his mouth? Well, maybe we'll make sure he, you know, runs out of gas. And that definitely, I think, will happen, you know, playing both sides of the ball. But just the whole starting in the secondary, I mean, against Beau Levi Mitchell, it's like, how bad do you want fourth place in the West to cross over to the East?
But, Jeff, I totally agree with your sentiment there, but isn't that something that happens in a high school practice? You want to run your mouth here? Here you go. You're going to play a DB, or you're going to play linebacker.
There's no way in the world this is punishment.
Yeah, like it's
not punishment.
It's the most bizarre situation to me.
No, and I agree with you, Westy. I don't think it's a punishment. I just can't rule that out with a guy like Jerron Carter. You know, to me, it's it's just really weird because you have these guys. I mean, every CFL team has their practice roster and guys that are just chomping at the bit to get in and should be working hard enough for that opportunity if they're going to stay on the practice roster. So it's got to be disheartening to a couple guys who I imagine, you know, now this guy is catching 12 balls for 231 yards, and now he's going to be, you know, taking reps on defense. It's just so bizarre. But, you know, at the same time, not all that bizarre when you consider where it's coming from.
I think he's going to be successful.
And you do?
If he is within a step, and I think he's going to be able to cover guys pretty well, every single ball going towards him, if the receiver isn't wide open, is 50-50. He's as aggressive as you get as a receiver, which is why I like watching him so much. And if the ball's within his catch radius, he's going to have as much or more of a chance to beat the receiver to the ball.
And that's his argument over Twitter. I mean, yeah. Bo Levi Mitchell was kind of giving him a couple jabs, but he shot back and said, well, nobody catches the ball better than me. Yeah. And, I mean, he's obviously got the height, so you're right, Troy. If there is a 50-50 ball, my money is probably going to Ron Carter, who just switched to receiver mode. And I think he's just going to have to make sure he runs the right way if he does come up with one.
That's a good point, yeah.
Another rumor I heard is Saskatchewan's looking at signing Johnny Manziel to play linebacker. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't put it out of the realm. Jeff Hamilton from the Winnipeg Free Press joining us. Lots of questions around the Bombers, but some interesting times in Toronto and what they're doing and Wilder Jr. back. What do you expect from the Argos this weekend?
I expect, you know, much of what we've seen all season, just because their attack's significantly different from the last time the Bombers played them. But I'm expecting a team that's fighting for first place in the East. I mean, it's a bad division, but that first place is still up for grabs. I mean, they have an attack. I mean, they don't have the fans in the stands, but they got the players on the field. And when you look at guys like Ricky Ray, who was relying heavily on the passing game, and then S.J. Green obviously accounted for a ton of catches and still does account for a ton of catches, but now they got this James Wilder guy running the ball, and he just seems to be taking the league by storm. They got Artise Jackson in the special teams in the return game. The Bombers will know him well. He returned, you know, a couple back on Winnipeg the last time they played. So I'm expecting Winnipeg's a battered team. So, you know, they always talk about the resolve on this team and how, you know, a result might sting, but it's all about, you know, how you rebound. And the Bombers, particularly the offense, have had two back-to-back bad games. So this is kind of a rebound from the rebound from the rebound. So, I'm expecting a desperate team on both sides of the ball. And it's always kind of that way when it gets to playoffs. Everyone wants to be playing well. Everyone wants to get wins. And everyone wants to stay healthy. So should be an exciting game for a match in mid-October.
At Jeff K. Hamilton on Twitter. And, of course, read his fine work in the Winnipeg Free Press. Thanks for doing this, Jeff, and enjoy the game.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Here are the attendances for the last three Toronto home games. 15,100, 12,300, 13,100. That's just remarkable. They like the BMO is such a beautiful venue, and the way they're going to package it, wrap it up, you would think you could tap in. There's 10,000 rabid CFL fans in Toronto. They're just getting nobody outside of the hardcore CFL fans there.
Does that include Jay and Dan night at the Argos game?
It does. That was last week, right?
That's probably where it peaked, I would think. TSN 1290 and Gypsum Drywall Interiors present Caring for Kids. Support the staff and services of the Children's Hospital Foundation of Manitoba today. Text KIDS to 129090. Standard message rates may apply. Every time you do, Gypsum Drywall Interiors will donate $1 to the Children's Hospital, up to $1,000. Your actions can help the Children's Hospital keep caring for kids across Manitoba, kids like Michaela, who is currently battling cancer. For more on Caring for Kids, visit tsn1290.ca. Your next chance to qualify for Hockey Nights in Vegas is next on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on tsn1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290 and RedTech.ca presenting Hockey Nights in Vegas. We're taking our second qualifier of the day after we brought you the Funk. Sean Funk was our first qualifier at 7:15. 780-1290. We're looking for another qualifier today. 12th caller through as we're sending five lucky listeners and their guests to Sin City this November, where they'll see the Winnipeg Jets take on the Las Vegas Golden Knights at the T-Mobile Arena on Friday, November the 10th. Return airfare to and from Vegas. Free parking at Winnipeg Richardson International Airport, courtesy of Park and Fly. Two hockey tickets, Jets versus Golden Knights on the 10th. Four nights accommodations right on the strip at the MGM Grand Hotel, and $1,290 in cash to help cover a few extras during your stay. Listen for your chance to qualify and win weekdays, 7:15 a.m., 8:15 a.m. here on The Big Show, 12:15 p.m. with Kevin Olszewski on the Don Vito Roundtable, and again with Hustler and Rick Ralph at 5:15 p.m. on The Afternoon Ride. Also, bonus chances to qualify online. Winners will be announced Monday mornings right here on The Big Show, and our next grand prize announcement is coming up on Monday, this Monday, October the 23rd. And November the 6th. For more information, check out tsn1290.ca. Hockey Nights in Vegas, presented by redtag.ca, where Canada shops for great travel deals. And TSN 1290. Bottom of the hour, we'll have our Jets Genius contest winner and the answer from Blake Wheeler as well. And a six-pack. And don't forget, an hour of your phone calls concerning the lineup and what you expect from the Minnesota Wild and the Bombers and the Argos and everything else on the Boss Pizza fan line at 9 as well.
Did you see that the McDavid goal last, or the McDavid assist last night?
Yes, I did.
How beautiful was that?
Did you see here Duncan Keith's comments before the game? Mm-hmm. He's about so quick, speed, yeah. He's so fast, like at some point you just close your eyes and hope for the best, and then it literally happens.
That was, and people always talk about the way he can work his magic at the speed that he's going. For him to, like, to turn around and control the puck to the degree that he did. And Duncan Keith, you can't do anything because he's got to be traveling. Like, the whole thing was as beautiful as you get, huh? That, you know, that's the assist of the year.
It's not the assist of all time. And we talked. I was talking with Troy about this earlier, but we talked last week about who could keep up with McDavid defensively. And we said Carlson would be one and probably Duncan Keith. Well, you can scratch that name off the list. And it was nothing Duncan Keith did wrong. It's just you're dealing with a human that we've just never seen at a hockey rink before.
The luckiest man on earth or hockey player might be Patrick Maroon right now. Gets to play on a line with Connor McDavid. One of the luckiest people in the city or our province may be our next qualifier. We'll find out Monday or on November the 6th. Who is our 12th caller through?
It is Kyle Northcliffe.
Kyle Northcliffe.
Cliffier.
Kyle, I'm not heading south. Northcliffe. I like it. Congratulations, Kyle, just for qualifying. You get a Jets Gear gift card, and you're in for our next two grand prize draws on Hockey Nights in Vegas. We'll do one on Monday, the 23rd, and if you don't win that one, you're still in. You're good to go, as is Sean Funk and everyone else who's qualified and hasn't won yet on November the 6th. And your next chance to qualify and your latest on the Jets lineup and the Wild lineup is coming up on the Don Vito Roundtable with Mr. Kevin Olszewski. Connor Hellebuck back in between the pipes tonight. Here is head coach Paul Maurice on what he's seen from Connor Hellebuck and the improvements he's made from last season.
For me, he came to camp quite a bit physically stronger in the net, and that manifests itself in a guy that looks the same way every time he takes a shot. He gets across the crease the same way. He's got more power, can stay upright longer, and then eventually be quicker. So he does look different in the net. There's no question about that. Calm would be the word that I see. He's not covering a lot of ice in there. He's set early. He's strong. He can stay in that position longer. And then he should be more confident because he's played three really, you know, he had a good camp too. He was good in exhibition. But in the real games, he's played very well.
You guys, he's been as solid, right? Regular season, preseason, he's looked the exact same in his same level of production, really. So it's great where he's at. Let's hope he comes in, bam, catches traction, and goes forward. And he's going to have to, I dare say, my prediction tonight is that if the Jets don't win here tonight, unless Hellebuck goalies the Wild, he's going to have to take this one.
You guys see the same things? I seem a little more confident. I always go back to Trevor Kidd's comments.
How do you seek confidence, bruh?
Calm, poised. Remember some of those answers last year, and I literally said, I think he's trying to convince himself. Like, he's angry at the having to answer these questions.
He was angry at it.
I think he has more confidence. I don't think he's angry about, no, he's got nothing to be angry about. He's playing very well. But I just see a more poised, Well, he said it himself. The first thing I worked on was confidence in my poise this summer.
I really think it was overblown, almost grossly so, the level of struggles from last year for Connor Hellebuyck. There was a small period, and I'll, just going back to his season last year, remember that Montreal, I believe it was Montreal at home, where there was just a gong show in front of him, and they let in a pile of goals on that. After that game, there's a 2 or 3 game pocket of remarkable struggle. And but other than that, like, and with the cutting that out of the equation there for him, where he it was something like 13 goals and 3 games, something like that, where he just everything went in the toilet. But he would have been sniffing around a 9-15 without that sort of episode that happened last year. I really think his level of struggle last year is grossly inflated.
How was it different from Jake Allen's struggle? Like, I literally saw him struggle.
Well, we're not talking about Jake Allen. What do you mean? How is it different from Jake
Allen? Because they did the same thing. They literally gave him a break from the season. They gave him some time off.
Well, I don't watch every we don't watch every game that Jake Allen played. So you're gonna have I don't even know why you're bringing that into this conversation here.
Because the same thing happened to both goalies. Jake Allen was left at home on a road trip.
Yeah.
To get some confidence or work on his mind game or whatever. Connor Hellebuyck was given a few days off to work on his same thing. Andrei Pavlik was called up, and he literally didn't dress for a couple games even as a backup. I don't see what you don't see is the similarities.
Well, I don't even know how to respond to that. I don't know what you're bringing up Jake Allen for. I'm saying last year at a 9:07, he had that one pocket of trouble that he had. And, you know, people saying this and that about his game. His game wasn't that far off. We talked about the 1,200-plus shots that he faced last year. If he makes 10 more saves, and think about some of the level of struggle and some of the goals that he allowed, he's at an, like, he wasn't that far away from being an average goaltender last year in the NHL for what was a disappointing, really, first rookie full season there for him as a starter. So, you know, for us to be so up and down and you know, no one should be surprised maybe, ultimately, I guess is what I'm getting at. No one should be surprised at what he's doing right now.
We'll talk more about this as we go on, but we'll get into our six-pack on The Big Show next, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruicki with you on The Big Show, TSN 1290. In just mere minutes, mere moments from now, the anticipation builds as we deliver another six-pack to you, the listeners. We'll bestow some picks on you, as Jeff Hamilton from the Free Press seemed to like. But let's get back to the Jets genius. Do we have a Jets genius winner?
Let's maybe start off with the question first.
Yeah, there we go.
Hi, this is Blake Wheeler of your Winnipeg Jets, and here's today's TSN 1290 Jets Genius question.
We asked Blake Wheeler, that is, what is your go-to party jam? Did he say Return of the Mac by Mark Morrison, Brass Monkey by the Beastie Boys, Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy by Big and Rich, or You Shook Me All Night Long by Asa Dasa?
We should have morning light odds. We should get Darren Dunn in here from the Cineboy Dunn to put morning line odds in some of these. I just don't see it being Brass Monkey. That's the long shot on the board for sure.
I don't know. Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy? I don't know.
He's a country boy, I think.
You think so?
A bunch of the hockey guys are, no?
I walk into a room handing out $100 bills.
That's a pretty good groove. That's a hell of a song. Yeah.
Well, hey, let's find out. The suspense is killing me here.
What is my go-to party jam?
Yeah.
Return of the Mac by Mark Morrison.
What?
I don't believe you, Blake.
Oh, that's right, baby.
Come on.
Turn that up a bit. I don't know. Let's hear that again. Tell me again, Blake. Tell me one more time. I don't believe it.
Go-to party jam. Return of the Mac by Mark Morrison.
No. I can't see him. Leaning against a pole in a house party?
No.
Maybe Sam Bradford's there? Maybe Torrey Hunter?
Sam Bradford.
Torrey Hunter and him are like, hey, turn that up. That's a badass jam. Return of the Mac by Mark Morrison is Blake Wheeler's go-to party jam. And those who guess the song by texting 129090, we selected one correct answer from all of the correct answers. And congratulations to the new biggest fan of Mark Morrison, Nealon Svick. Nealon Svick.
Sticker!
Is the latest winner in Jets Genius. You've won two tickets to watch the Jets versus the Wild tonight at Bell MTS Place. Thanks for playing, Jets Genius. Everybody out there listening, listen next Friday on The Big Show for your next chance to win on your home of the Winnipeg Jets, TSN 1290.
Gotta say, we have to, I maybe me more than everyone else, but what I need to know your guys' jams, go-to jam.
At a party?
Party, song comes on, you stop everything you're doing. And that becomes the next 3-4 minutes of your life.
I don't know that I've ever been to a party.
Like Desperado on Seinfeld?
It's at least decades we're talking for me to.
You've never been to
a party?
Party?
I was there pulling somebody out or helping somebody.
You don't party?
No.
That explains a lot. I don't trust you anymore. I don't trust you at all.
You don't trust me until you call me. Hey, Westy, I need a ride. Come get me.
Westy, you got to get me out of here. They're playing Mark Morrison.
That's my role typically, yeah.
Westy, get me out of here. They're playing Return of the Mac. Get me out of here.
Wow. That's tough. You guys have a specific tune you would attach to yourself for a party tune? It depends. The genres. I can't cross genre.
And it depends time of the night.
Like if it's, that's an excellent
it's
point.
8 p.m. and you just got there, and somebody says, would you like a beer? Well, yeah, I'd love a beer. Thank you.
Your 3 a.m. party jam is like the end by the doors.
If
right?
it's post-tailgate.
Closing time, obviously.
If it's post-tailgate at the Bomber game with Huss and Dom, and Dom's like, did you eat enough? And something tunes fired up, that's a different call.
Yeah.
And then when you're just like sitting at Nicolino's and Nick's like, what are you still doing here? I'll play you one more song. What do you want to hear?
It's like Ride On from AC/DC or something.
Ride On. Great tune. All right, enough. Enough of Mark Morrison and Blake Wheeler and the party jam. I just can't see him going, yeah.
We're calling horse crap on that, right?
Hey, Troops, fire that up a little bit for me, would you?
You're just rattled. You're just rattled.
Down
you don't,
in Florida?
You don't know.
Give me a piece of this rug. I'd like to cut a bit of it. Some party. Let me cut some rug for you boys. Thanks for playing Jets Genius. Let's get into the six-pack. Fire that jam up.
How did you get Sam Bradford into that party?
He's in Minnesota.
Okay.
Torrey Hunter. Maybe Paul Molitor drops by and says, could you turn that down a bit? I'm about to go to sleep.
You are something.
Minnesota Mafia party. Drew Stafford's in there somewhere. Mark Stewart. Dustin Bufflin just standing there. You like this song, Buff? Doesn't say a word. Just stands there. That'll be next year's contest. Who runs the show at a party of the Winnipeg Jets? Let's get into the six-pack, gentlemen. What's our record? Bestow
our
it on
record,
us.
Our record last week, JT was 0-2. Wicks and I were 1-1. Overall, JT, 3-9. Wicks and I are 5-7. We are 13-23. Trying to claw our way back up to 500,
just a
boys.
Couple 6-0 weeks. We're right back in it. Yeah.
Do I get an asterisk for a broken collarbone on my pick?
No.
Those are uncontrollable.
That's fair. But no. No, but that's fair.
We'd offer you maybe the first syllable of what you're looking there for.
And Jay Cutler continues to screw me. Thanks, Jay. Happy for the win. Man, the Dolphin fans reached out to me on Sunday.
I was looking at some of the breakdowns and predictions for the game, and one was just the front picture of it was just Cutler sitting on the bench with the most foul look on his face ever in the Dolphins jersey.
How does
the guy have fun ever?
What is Jay Cutler's party jam? I don't think he and Blake Wheeler would get along at a party. I think it's better if they just keep their separate ways. Let's get into it. We're wasting time. 39 minutes past the hour on the Big Show. Well, Packers, Sarah Orlesky, whoever else is out there, half of this country of ours, Mark Chuby's father-in-law or somebody, I don't know, whatever, dropping names like their handshakes. The New Orleans Saints are coming off the bye. They're going into Green Bay. They're a dome team. They have Drew Brees. The offense is coming around. The defense put up 4,000 points in a win against the Detroit Lions last week. They're favored by 5.5 because Hundley, 100 Hundley Street, is that who's playing for the Packers? Aaron Woods will run the ball. Montgomery's there. I don't know about Jordy Nelson and everybody else catching passes from him, but I think the defense for the Saints, for once in probably 5 or 6 years, is better than I think they are. And I like Drew Brees coming off the old bye week, as they say. They're favored by 5.5. I think New Orleans wins this game. And I think they do it by a touchdown. 5.5, that dreaded .5. Whereas in the classic movie with John Belushi, when he said 0.0 for a GPA, and then added, the Dean did, big, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life. And I've been all three of those throughout my life. So I'm going to go against the Dean's wishes in the classic Animal House. Ride the 5.5 to a 7-point victory for the New Orleans Saints in Green Bay. Get well soon, Aaron Rodgers. You've been screwing us Bears fans for years, and now you've messed up the Hungarian Hammers fantasy team, which I cannot stand for. Take the Saints, winning by a TD.
All right, I'll make this one as quick as possible. We're going to go to Chicago, and in Chicago, it's Mitchapalooza right now. It's Mitch Fest. Speaker City might be sponsoring tonight's or Sunday's Bears-Panthers game.
I'm worth $6 million that the government knows about.
And JT, you're going to want earmuffs on this.
Earmuffs.
Earmuffs.
I'm not having a great time.
Mitchell,
go ahead.
Mitchell Trubisky, he's been low-key terrible.
What?
In his two starts. There's no other way to put it. Under 50% completion, and he hasn't cracked over 150 yards passing in both of his starts so far this season for the Bears. He's going up against a Panthers defense that is ferocious, plus Luke Kuechly. I don't really think he should be playing, but he's cleared and looks like he's going to be good to go.
Is he in?
Yeah. So that adds another element to the Panthers defense. Panthers also 8th in rushing defense, giving up 83 yards per game. If the Bears can't get anything going on the run game, they're not going to be able to get anything going offensively whatsoever. I think the Panthers flex their muscles a bit. They've had 10 days off since their Thursday night loss to Philly. Cam Newton gets it going in Chicago. I think the Panthers win this one by double digits. It's 3.5, though, but I think they cover that 3.5 comfortably on the road.
I like that pick.
Does Kuechly get another concussion this year? Like, this is a real sad thing.
I don't even want to watch him play anymore.
Yeah.
It's a really sad situation. And Cam Newton skipped his press conference yesterday.
Perfect. They sound like they're ready to go. Yeah.
No word if he had a tie on or not, because nobody saw him. Respect the game.
All right, bounce out. Washington at Philly. Philly is 4.5-point favorites. Week one, Philly won this sucker 30-17. And since then, Philly has now emerged as one of the top teams in the NFL. Philly was under siege. They had Kirk Cousins under siege in that week one game. All kinds of struggle for him, including 4 turnovers that were forced by the Philadelphia defense. Philly gets a shot in the arm, getting the right tackle back. Lane Johnson's back, and the Eagles are coming off a 10 days rest and should do enough here, I figure, to cover the 4.5 points. Looking at the secondary for Washington, no Josh Norman. So Carson Wentz looks to have a little bit of fun maybe with a depleted secondary. Take Carson Wentz and the Eagles minus 4.5 points.
Ooh,
me likey that pick.
Monday night. Me likey as well. You likey, I likey. You like that? You like that? Settle down, Kirk. Captain Kirk. Kirk Penton. Shout out to Penton. We're dropping names here today on the big show.
He's at the party.
TSN 1290. He's at the party going.
Sam Bradford.
Look, I hate to break up your party. I just need a quote. That's Kirk Penton right there. I don't want to party with you. Kirk Penton can party, though. The rums and cokes. The rums and the cokes. Rum and cokes? Whatever. Whew. There's a couple other games I could go here.
You don't even know where you're going.
No, I do. I'm looking at Tennessee, but I'm also looking at Arizona. Arizona's been in the UK. Not bloody likely. All week. Where the Rams arrive today and play Sunday. I like Adrian Peterson's addition to the offense there. I think it helps. It helps Carson Palmer, who is 1,000 years old. But I'm going to stick with Tennessee. I like what they did the other night. I like their offense. Mariota's back. He's clicking. They got a good running game. I like their O-line. Their O-line has bite to it. Remember that late hit against the Seahawks and their O-line went? Well, they were snake. They went snake. Cleveland's awful. They're going back to another quarterback. Is it Kizer this week? Who is it?
Yeah.
What's his name? And not only are they going back to Kizer, but the starting, the depth chart has changed too. The number two guy is three again, and Hogan's all around. It's like, who paid their locker room fees gets to start this week. Who's late on it will be the backup, and who hasn't paid yet is third string in Cleveland. I don't like anything the Cleveland Browns have going on. I really like Tennessee. I think they're rounding into form. I like their defense. They, too, have the dreaded 5.5. Two field goals is all I need. Or a touchdown. I like that pick. I'm trying to remain calm this week. I don't know if you guys have noticed that.
Yeah. It's a little disappointing.
It's nice zen. Yeah. Ah, it's there a level of zen here.
I'm trying to change it up. You know, no one can change your future but you. Everybody waits for somebody to change it. I'm not waiting for somebody to go pick this team. I'll do it myself.
Nice.
Regroup, refocus, step back. Plus, I'm sober this week.
A little
week.
Bit of philosopher stuff.
I'll take the Titans on the road in Cleveland. And I'll leave the six-pack in the cooler right beside the studio. Yeah. 5.5, they'll win by 6 or a TD. Take the Titans in Cleveland.
And next week, after 0-2, it'll be a George Costanza. Just do the opposite, whatever it works.
Where's the 2-4?
All right, game of the week. Sunday Nighter.
Ooh, yes.
And the Super Bowl rematch. Oh, that's right. The Atlanta 28-3s versus the New England Patriots. And wouldn't you know it, but the Falcons come into this game having blown a 17-0 lead against Jay Cutler and the Miami Dolphins. So it's not like they can come into this game with blown leads kind of in the back burner here. It's basically the forefront and everything they're worried about this week.
Oh.
So you think you should take the Patriots, right? At home? I don't think so.
Wow.
We're going to go with the Atlanta Falcons, and you can give me 3.5.
Ka-ka.
I don't need any points. The Falcons are going to win this one outright. That's right. And I'll tell you why. Two reasons. Three reasons. Four reasons. Reason number one. The Patriots have the worst defense in the NFL.
Numero uno.
It's not even a stretch to say that. They gave up the most yards per game, over 460. They gave up a league high 6.6 yards per play. And the Jets last week would have had 24 points on them if they didn't overturn that bizarre touchdown fumble fiasco. Now, to the Atlanta side of things, the Falcons have actually outgained their opponents 4-5 times this season. And in their past two losses, the Falcons actually outgained their opponent by over 100 yards. So a bit of misfortune to not win both of those games as well. No Kyle Shanahan to blow any sorts of leads this time around. No Lady Gaga, which I don't think enough people are talking about. She made that huge catch at halftime. It completely changed the complexion of that football game. And how about this?
Oh,
I did a little research.
So
I brought in a ringer for this pick. Larry Hartstein, a former Atlanta-based sports writer working for Sportsline, is 9-0 in his last 9 games, picking either for or against the Falcons.
Larry!
Larry likes the Falcons this week, which means Brandon likes the Falcons too. Atlanta, plus 3.5 on the road.
Ka-ka.
I'm calling the upset, if it is enough. Whatever you want to call it, they're going to win this game outright. But I get 3.5, I think they cover easy.
Like a backhand from Frank when I sassed my mother... That loss still stings in Atlanta.
Hey, will that be enough to push the Patriots faithful into pure panic mode if they lose this game at home?
No.
No.
4-3, no?
No.
Maybe Tom Brady's Under Armour sleepwear will allow him to stay asleep while he hears ka-ka, ka-ka, ka-ka.
I'm going to bounce out to New York. You got the Seattle Seahawks minus 5.5. Waltzing into New York to play the Giants, the G-Men. I don't think the Giants are going to win this game, but you got Seattle's O-line, which is absolutely horrible. The weakest part of their team, up against arguably the strongest part of the Giants in that D-line.
Uh-oh.
I think that D-line could cause enough trouble to slow things down to keep it close, at least. You got Starling Shepard coming back. He's returner for the Giants, and Eli will also be out there with household names Orleans Darka and Evan Engram, you know, those guys are household names out for the Giants, the receivers. But at least you got Shepard out there. Now, despite the personal challenges for the Giants, the last four games have put up 23, 22, 23, and 24 points. So tack on 5.5 onto those numbers. And is Seattle going to stroll in and put up 28-plus points?
Yes.
With that offense and the Giants' D-line? I don't think so, man. I think that the Giants' D-line is going to be able to keep this sucker close, take the Giants, and plus 5.5 points.
I need a drink. I don't like that pick. There is your six-pack. Gentlemen, to recap, I have the New Orleans Saints coming off the bye, going into 100 Huntley Street to take on the Packers and the Aaron Rodgers-less pick. You know, Aaron Rodgers tweeted out a picture or Instagrammed or whatever. I'm not on Instagram. Of himself in the hospital after surgery, giving the hang loose sign. What kind of smut is that? Kids are watching. Anyways.
Smut?
Just filth. Put a shirt on. New Orleans to beat the Green Bay Packers by a touchdown. And Tennessee, at least by two field goals, probably more, over Cleveland. Both 5.5. They'll beat those spreads.
Cam and the Panthers spoiling Mitchapalooza in Chicago. Panthers 3.5. And I'll take the Falcons on the road.
I'm having an awesome
and the 3.5 points. I think the Falcons win this game outright, though.
Going Philly and my boy Carson Wentz, -4.5 points, and the G-Men and Eli to keep it close, +5.5.
$5 on those six picks will pay you $150.00. $150 to kick off your weekend. Monday Nighter action there, too. So you wake up Tuesday, you go, look at these sweet kids on the big show. Man, can they party. They just gave me $150. Thanks, Tips, on the Big Show on the six-pack, TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Wild tonight. The Boss Pizza fan line is wide open. Brendan Lemieux will make his NHL debut. Connor Hellebuck's back in net. And depending on Tyler Myers, we'll know more at the morning skate. But Ben Chirac, you get his first game as well. Your thoughts on the Jets and the Wild, the Bombers and the Argos as well. And anything and everything with Jim Tolth, Troy Weston, and Brandon Ruwicki on the Big Show, 780-1290. That's next on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. The Jets in the Wild tonight at 7 o'clock right here on TSN 1290 with Paul Edmonds and Brian Munns. The afternoon ride with Rick and Husser live from BP City Place at 3. Manitoba Building Trades pregame show at 6 with Kevin Olszewski, and he'll be back with the Huron Windows postgame show as well. The Boss Pizza fan line will be open on the postgame show. The Boss Pizza fan line is open right here on the Big Show now with Jim Tolth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki, 780-1290. You can also text your thoughts to 1290-90 with standard message rates applying. Before we get to the phone line, TSN 1290 is excited for UFC Fight Night December 16th at Bell MTS Place. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster.ca. You could win tickets by texting FIGHT to 1290-90. We'll also be throwing in pre-fight dinner at the official sports bar of the UFC in Canada, Boston Pizza. Standard message rates may apply for text entries. Grand prize winner will be announced Monday, October the 23rd. That's this Monday on the Big Show. Want another chance to win? We're adding a pair of tickets to TSN 1290's Man Cave. Visit TSN1290.ca for contest details and enter now. More in the Man Cave later on the Big Show as well. Bomber rosters or depth chart has just been put out. And in this week is Dressler, Wild, Porter, and Givens. And they're in for Adams, Langford, Leggett, and Branning. And Minuk Dentra Blue Bomber game day starts tomorrow at 1 p.m. in the afternoon right here on TSN 1290. To the Boston Pizza fan line, 780-1290 on an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. And we are going to kick it off in mere moments here as we're just taking more calls as they come in. Any surprises with the additions to the Bomber roster? Everybody
nope.
Expected those?
Yeah. Can't say that there's any surprises really at all. Should be a pretty solid game, too. You got the Argos clipping along pretty good. In their last three losses, they've all been within 3 points and after the 2:30 remaining in the fourth quarter mark. So they've all been super tight contests, lost late. Ricky Race playing at a pretty good pace. It looks like Wilder will be back in for this game. So he's kind of a new superstar that's descended. He's averaging, I believe it's 99 or 100 yards per game. So they're going to be a good foe. It should be a real good game.
780-1290 in the Boss Pizza fan line on an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Kevin, you're kicking us off today on the Boss Pizza fan line. Go ahead, Kevin.
Good morning.
Morning.
I was talking to Brandon on the line about I had phoned, I think it was maybe a week and a half ago about the Golden Knights. I had asked you guys your opinion on the Golden Knights, and I think they had won their first two games, and I'd asked you guys, you know, do you think this can be sustained? And you know, it was a little bit of back and forth, and I liked listening to it, but all I got to say is, geez, I almost hate to say it, I almost told you. Now, I watched the last game that they played the other night on big screen, and I was quite impressed with, they seem to be very, like a very disciplined style, like they seem to play their game. And it seems like a lot of the guys that are playing seem to really have a chip on their shoulder, and, you know, they seem to not just want to play for each other, but to play for the team, to say, you know, you guys got rid of us, we're going to stick it to you. And, I mean, they've been playing some very good hockey. I'm wondering, do you guys think they can sustain this with the guys that they have? And then should I change my pick before it gets too late and possibly switch them and maybe make in the playoffs? But I'd like to sit and listen, and you guys have yourselves a really nice weekend and enjoy this gorgeous weather.
Take care, man. You too, Kevin. Have a great weekend. They're 5-1. They have 10 points. They're playing well. They look to me like a Gerard Gallant coach team. They compete. They play hard. I just don't see it happening for them. I don't think they're a playoff team, but I think they're playing well, but I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, I have thought that they would be much more competitive than most thought, but when you think about like 82 games, right, it's hard for me to imagine. You look at the top of the Pacific right now, Los Angeles and Vegas being 1-2 in the Pacific, it's real hard for me to imagine it's going to be anywhere near that come the end of the 82-game schedule. So I think, Kevin, that it would be a remarkable accomplishment if Vegas were able to sneak into the playoffs. I think they'll probably settle into like a fifth or sixth, seventh sort of a spot there in the Pacific once it all trickles down. But you have to be super impressed with what they're doing. I'm not sure how long Marc-Andre Fleury's out. Was it a
concussion?
Yeah. So that's a little bit of concern, and the rate that he was playing at contributed a lot. Now I got Subban, and they're playing well as well. But I'd just figure for them to settle certainly closer to the bottom than the top of the Pacific.
Yeah, I think they'll be in the playoff mix longer than anyone really gave them credit for, and they're going to be a tough out. But I think you have to take into consideration too that come the trade deadline, unless they're in first or second place in the division by then, they're shipping off a lot of talent and a lot of guys that are doing a lot of damage for them right now, mainly James Neal, who's on an expiring contract. So I think that unless they really continue to shock the world here, I expect them to move some of their best players, and that'll probably be the end of the playoff dream for the Knights.
Thanks for the call, Kevin, on the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290 on an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Wild tonight on TSN 1290 at 7. Sandy, you're on the big show. Go ahead, Sandy.
Yes. Good morning. Happy Friday.
Yeah, same to you.
Thank you. I have a short wish list for the Winnipeg Jets. I would love to see, as a lot of people would, Ehlers, Scheifele, Laine reunited. I hope Brendan Tanev has a great, or pardon me, I hope Brendan Lemieux has a fantastic game tonight and sticks with the big club. And I would love to see Sean Mathias and Marco Dano replaced with Brendan Lemieux and J.C. Lapone, because I feel they bring more speed and offense to the game. And I want to part with this question that I have for you guys, and I'm curious to see what your thoughts are. If by chance Paul Maurice and Charlie Huddy were fired, who would you love to see replacing them? I would love to see Dale Hawerchuk as head coach, but I understand he's with Barry Colts for two more years. So I'm going to hang up and listen to your thoughts on that.
Thanks, Sandy. We appreciate the call. Have a great weekend on the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290. J.C. Lapone is a guy I thought had a really good camp. And I like what he and Lemieux bring to a lineup. I don't know if they need both of them right now, but they definitely need to get more out of that sort of six or seven or eight guys fighting for those bottom six roles. I will say this, though. I don't know how long they'll stay or when they come. I think, and we talked about this, and I said maybe around Christmas time or 2025 games, I think Kyle Connor's here to stay. And I know it's only been one game, and I want to see how this goes, but with Perreault out for a month, I don't see it getting worse for Connor Hellebuyck. I see it, Kyle Connor. So for the Lemieux and the Lapons and stuff, I'm not sure. But I don't think I said Kyle Connor will probably finish a year with the Jets. I didn't think it would be this soon. An injury allowed it to be. I don't think Kyle Connor's going anywhere the rest of the season.
I hope that's the case. That's certainly true. And then when Program's down, put him on that third line. You know, I know it's not going to happen, but just to, you know, some level of sort of nasty on the fourth line, Sandy, along the lines of what you were saying, just imagine Lowry in the middle of Lapointe and Lemieux. Like, as far as the level of nasty goes out, that would just be, if that was the fourth line for the Winnipeg Jets, I wouldn't mind watching that. Just, I don't know what needs to happen, guys. And when we talked to Dennis Bayak today, and we talked to him about, you know, at what point in time, and I was referencing two or three games as a sort of time frame, not upon the return of Mathieu Perreault, who's still, what, three and a half weeks away. Like, two, three games from now, if there's still 0 5-on-5 production from the bottom six, Paul Maurice may well be pushed into making a fairly profound move. Like, something of fairly sizable proportion might have to be done, like dropping Scheifele, Wheeler, Laine, Little, Ehlers. I don't know what combo or which individual there, but something's going to have to happen that injects life and talent into the third line at the very least, if this zero production 5-on-5 continues going forward. So, yeah, so Sandy, what you said about Lemieux and Lapointe, they're fun to watch, and maybe there's something, I don't know how much different ultimately that you get. There's definitely more snarl there as opposed to Matthias and Dano, so that's kind of cool. So, yeah, and I'm right there with you. Ehlers, Scheifele, Laine, I'm right there with you, that would love to see them. And Dale Hawerchuk, I just don't see him coming here. And to be quite honest with you, I'm not sure who I would have to give some long, hard thought as to who I would vote for to take over if the job ever comes open.
I don't. Daryl Sutter, end of story.
Now, let me ask you, though, because
I don't know if he wants to
I was talking
anymore.
With the guys. I thought a real cool conversation, one of those that was completely just reeled in the whole time and bouncing things off the Arctic Ice guys. And they made mention that the Winnipeg Jets last year were in the top five teams for low-event hockey. And Daryl Sutter is maybe the king of low-event hockey?
No, yeah, no? He's the high-event king. Remember, the Kings were the dominant Corsi team over his tenure there, right?
But they always had immense amount, like they were always defensively leaning, right? Like that was their strength. Offense, they always struggled with immensely.
Yeah, I would maybe like to, but having said that, their offensive struggles led to two Stanley Cups and a Western Conference final appearance.
Well, they were that strong defensively, man.
My whole point with Sutter would be that you can't play defensive hockey right now if you're the Winnipeg Jets. Daryl Sutter will find out in about 30 seconds who the culprits are and what needs to be changed there. He like, if you can't play defense for Daryl Sutter, he's going to know real quick and everyone else is going to know real quick.
Yeah, but we know who the culprits are, and there's a lot of them. And that's it. Look, I'm from Alberta. I know Daryl Sutter. I like everything about him. It's not going to go well if Daryl Sutter comes in here.
Well, that's maybe like some level of friction. Is that bad?
I don't know. You'll have to ask Patrick Laine, Nick Ehlers, all these young guys that have to now forget about offense. Because that's what he's going to do. He shores things up for sure. But
the guys from Arctic Ice, and who I really like listening to what they have to say, their thoughts and ideas, the whole group of them. And they were saying, hey, look at Toronto. Look at Babcock. Babcock sort of let the reins go and is willing to accept some of the defensive liabilities or struggles that they've got. And they all know they need to improve defensively. But what has he done mostly in Toronto with that group is let them go. I know it's counterintuitive with the whole offseason. Everyone's thinking defense, defense, defense. Do you think maybe it's worth giving a thought to Paul Maurice or whoever's going to be the next head coach here in allowing the offensive talent here to flourish, like to breathe, provide oxygen for the offensive leanings of this team and sort of worry about defense maybe second? Like, is it time with the amount of talent with the Winnipeg Jets to open things up, similar to what Babcock has done in Toronto?
What are they going to do? Give up more goals?
Do you have to consider that?
Yeah, well, you absolutely have to consider that. So what's happening right now when you're bottom – you mentioned the numbers yesterday. We know the numbers. They're bottom five in –
almost everything.
Too many categories.
And we were talking on off-air before we started the show here, Wicks, that if the level of defensive catastrophe continues and just sort of the lack of organization, there's something at the heart wrong with this team if it doesn't really straighten up and become sound and consistently sound, right? Like, there can't be that level of disconnect between what the coach is coaching and the players. Everyone here, like everyone in that locker room, they know what they're supposed to be doing out there, but something's being missed here. So if that doesn't remedy itself fairly quickly, something sizable would need to happen to this group.
I do think along those lines of thinking is, like, Toronto lost in the Toronto success at the start of this year is they got 22 goals against. The Jets have 23 against. The difference is Toronto has 34-4 and the Jets have 18.
That's exactly the point I was just making, that Arctic Ice was making, saying, hey, they emphasize offense. They sort of are willing to accept their defensive warts, knowing that they need to get better, but they push things offensive. They like their pace of play, right? They're out there creating and flying up and down the ice. Is that maybe the approach to make with the talent here?
I just don't think that's...
That's what they're doing. Literally, that's what they're doing in Toronto.
Yeah, I know it's what they're doing in Toronto. And it's also what Babcock's trying to get them to stop doing.
Well, but he's not coming at it. He's fostering and nurturing the offense while trying to reel in things defensively instead of putting a stamp on, like, instead of making it low event hockey the way Paul Maurice had with this group last year. I remember watching that and just how low event the Jets were. And yet it wasn't like, it seems like that's kind of what he wants with this group this year. Maybe with the talent that's here, that it's time to open it up and engage, like, let these young players and their
offensive prowess go. But didn't we just literally see an entire season of that? We just literally saw this team finish in the top 10 in scoring.
Yes, but they...
So you want to do that again?
I see what you're saying there.
Like, I saw the Twitter feed from the guys yesterday. And I'm just sitting there going, we just spent the entire season doing that last year.
But don't you think last year, like specifically last year, as opposed to, like, I don't believe, guys, I don't believe we've watched for the most part last year. I don't think there was the same level of defensive gong show that we've seen in three of the first six games this year. Like, there's only been six games, and there have been three defensive nightmares already written by this group somehow. I can't recall things defensive being that messy maybe last year. I know that they're far from Picasso's.
It's probably because they're trying to focus on it. Like, for once, it's like, instead of the leeway that was given, the Nick Ehlers quote I keep riding from 2 weeks ago in the season, and I was awful defensively the first two periods, and Paul kept putting me out there, so I want to get better defensively to reward him for that. It's probably the leeway was there last year, and now it's not. And now it's, guys, shore it up. Guys, focus on this as opposed to that. And it's been six games. And I think that's why I go to 10 to 15 games to sort of get more leeway of, can they figure this out, this new focus, while still trying to do both things. We got a break, but we'll continue the conversation. Thanks for the call, Sandy. More of your calls next on the Boston Pizza Fan Line on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290 wants to better your basement with a host of cool add-ons. This time there are two caves to choose from, the Man or the Mam Cave. Both come with a $500 men's or women's Burton Gear shopping spree from Alter Ego Sports. Both come with a pizza night for 10, courtesy of Boston Pizza. The Man Cave has two tickets to the upcoming UFC Fight Night, December 16th at Bell MTS Place. The Mam Cave, two tickets to Shania Twain's Now Tour, May 13th. At Bell MTS Place. Both come with a Winnipeg Jets Guys or Girls Night Out, which include two tickets to an upcoming 2017-18 home game at Bell MTS Place and a customized Winnipeg Jets hockey jersey puck party. And both caves come with a Rink Water, Nice Rink, Rink in a Box, the industry standard for outdoor rink starter kits. Select your cave of choice now online at tsn1290.ca. We'll randomly draw one winner for each grand prize on Monday, October the 30th. The Big Show, TSN 1290, and the Royal Sports Power Hour will be repeated next hour for you. Boss Pizza Fan Line right now, 780-1290 with Jim, Troy, and Brandon. Brian, you're on the program. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, boys, I think we're in the same spot as we were last year, eh? I don't see anything changing. We're at 500. We're a 500 hockey club. That's pretty much where we've been for the last 6 years, so... And I don't have anything against bringing the kids up from the Moose, but you're just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic here, guys. I mean, we all were in agreement that this team was going to score lots of goals.
Well, they're not doing that either. They're too afraid to make a mistake defensively, and I think that's affecting the whole psyche on the team. I mean, you got to turn these guys loose. And, hey, we're already losing, so what have you got to lose? You got to let these guys score and let them freewheel a little more. And as far as the who to bring in for a coach, I think Wixie nailed it right on the head. You bring in Sutter and let the bodies roll. I mean, if you're not going to be accountable for what you do on the ice, then you're not going on the ice. That's a spot that's earned. You're not just given that. You have to earn that. Your thoughts?
Well, my thought is, Brian, I understand what you're saying, but, and again, some people are going to hate me saying this, but it's six games. Like, don't you think the offense will come around? Don't you think as the season wears on, you get better by game 25, game 50, game 70? Like, don't you think, like, at six games, no. is this what the team is? Is six games in, this is what it is?
Doesn't always get better, JT.
Well, I know it doesn't, but don't you think it can with the offense on this team and everything else and the better goaltending we've seen out of at least one of the goaltenders? Don't you think as the season wears on, they'll get better at things? Or do you think – like, I just don't think what we've seen today heading into Minnesota is what this team is going to be.
Well, what I know for sure is what this team has been in the past and on a year that so much emphasis has been put on specifically – I'm not concerned at all about the offense – but so much emphasis being put on a better level of play defensively, and there's no hint of it in three of the six games, and the spectrum covered. That just leads me to believe that there's a disconnect. There's some sort of a disconnect going on in that locker room. I think that is blatantly obvious. You can't have that much of a spectrum covered.
Thanks, Brian. Everybody else, please hang on. We'll give less of our thoughts and more of yours when we get back to the Boss Pizza fan line. 780-1290 next on The Big Show on an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day on TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Our Winnipeg Blue Bomber home games throughout the season, our friends at Not AutoCorp have been picking up listeners in the Blue Bus. Prize includes six tickets to an upcoming Winnipeg Blue Bombers home game, transportation for you and five friends to Investors Group Field, a stop at the Not AutoCorp tailgate party outside the stadium in their VIP tent before the game, and transportation back home once the game is finished. And our final 2017 winner for next Saturday's game versus the BC Lions is Doug DeClercq. Doug and five friends will be picked up, dropped off at the Bomber game, and then brought back again once the game is over. The Blue Bus has been presented by Not AutoCorp. Congrats to all the winners this year. And Doug, you're off to that next home game versus the BC Lions next week, courtesy of the Not AutoCorp VIP.
Clerky.
Blue Bus. You'll enjoy that ride. Trevor Knott, sharp dresser.
Good guy, sharp dresser.
I guarantee you one of his go-to party songs is, I guarantee it is Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy.
Knott's?
Just from the bedazzled jeans and everything else, the red van shoes.
Bedazzled jeans, you said.
For sure he's walked into a room handing out $100 bills, and it thrills and it chills. Yeah. Trevor Knott. Back to the Boss Pizza fan line and Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day, and thanks to Trevor and the great people at Knott AutoCorp for doing that VIP Blue Bus this season. Martin, you're on The Big Show. Go ahead.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Hello,
Mr. Baseball.
Martin.
Next time you talk to your cousin in Vancouver, tell him I said hi.
Will do.
Oh, we're dropping names. Oh, sorry, guys. listening to the interview with the, I forgot his name, the new bomber. That brought me back to the
Chris
old
Givens?
Seinfeld days of playing basketball with Jimmy.
The which?
The old Seinfeld days of playing
Jimmy.
Basketball. But Jimmy, give Jimmy the ball. And
Jimmy likes
score.
Elaine. It's Jimmy likes Elaine.
Different world.
Jimmy likes his shoes. Jimmy's going to shoot threes.
Anyway, getting back to the Jets. You know, I don't know. It's been six games, and every one of them, actually, you know, the Team D has been bad. Hellebuck definitely stole the last game. No doubt about it. And I just don't know, like Mr. Westwood was saying there, I just there is some disconnect there, and man, I just can't figure out what it is either for the life of me. But something's going on, I think. The old conspiracy theory.
Well, when you say disconnect, do you mean between the coach and the players?
No, yeah. No. I think amongst the players. I mean, you know, they've got to get what he's saying. I'm sure he says it enough.
If you,
you know, but
I think it is, you know, Martin. I think it is the coach and the players, and not from a personal. But if the guys really believed in whatever the system that was in place and the structure involved with that, there's no way it would be breaking down like this. Like these are pros out there, man. These are guys that want to win as bad as anybody. How can we see things break down to the degree that they do?
Regardless of the coach, though, like I will say this, regardless of who's coached this team, and there's been two of them, maybe they're just not good defensive players. Like Brian Little, to me, is a good defensive player. But when you look at the 6 or 7 years, who sits here and goes, these are really solid, good. Like Mark Scheifele admits that's the game part of his game he wants to get better at. I like Blake Wheeler's 200-foot game, but even he hasn't been that great this year.
But all defense, man, defense is so much more about want, especially at that level. There's just super rare, I think, that there'd be a guy playing in the NHL that doesn't have the capacity to play good defense. Defense isn't – like it's not a skill the way offense is. Defense is all about want.
It is a skill.
It's way more about want than it is skill, Jim.
A solid defensive play – It might be more want than skill, but it is a skill. Good defensive play in hockey is a skill.
That's true. But
I think most bordering on, like the vast majority of NHL players have that.
All right, Martin, we appreciate it. We'll get to more of your calls now. Roy, you're on the big show, TSN 1290, the Boss Pizza fan line. Go ahead, Roy.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I got a cold. I won't be on long, but with that Troy there, he just mentioned the disconnect, and I think that's where we're at. I love Paul Maurice. I love his quotes after the game, but for some reason, there's something missing there. Like at the team, it's a family, but there's either it's not respect or fear of that coach for whatever his style is. They're just not buying in. And that's the way I see it, because there's no way they would be playing the way they are in front of him. Like, if Tortorella was the coach in the Columbus Blue Jackets game, would they have put on that performance? I don't think so. I just think that if you want to put it a different way, it's a family. They see maybe, like, when you interview them and the various players, and they say, you know, oh, I love the coach, and he taught me so much, and this and that. But then when they go out in front of him and don't show a good performance, I think it's like a kid who's favorite uncle, you know, like you get 100 on a math test and he gives you a pat in the back and $10 and you like him. But if he was to say, go out and mow the lawn for your parents, he's like, you're not my father. Don't tell me what to do. It's like they're not buying in enough. That's,
but Tortorella's had his problems in Columbus. Tortorella's had his problems throughout his career. Johansson in Nashville is one of the reasons he's not in Columbus anymore. Like, I mean, maybe some fans are saying like you are, that they're out of time with Maurice, but like I don't when we hear disconnect, and I'm not in that room, and none of us are.
I don't know what.
But from being around the guys, like I will say this: they're going to say what they say, and I know you have to read between the lines and take it with a grain of salt. But in my experience of covering teams, I don't know, and it's not just like the coach; they believe in this guy. They honestly do, from what I've seen. And you might not put much weight into that, fair enough. But it's not like they're – like Blake Wheeler and Nick Ehlers and those guys can come out and go say, we believe in him, da-da-da. They don't have to say, he's the best coach we've ever had. There's ways of saying we like Paul and we believe in him without going above and beyond. And from everything I've heard, they go above and beyond. They believe in Paul, they like Paul, and they want to play for Paul. Now, if there's a disconnect beyond that, I guess fair enough, but – I don't think there's a disconnect in that the players don't like Paul or don't believe in him.
I don't think that either. But when you watch it, like there's got to, if the guys aren't getting the system or if they're not able to duplicate the system on the ice, then something's wrong, right?
Yeah, clearly something has to be fixed. Thanks for the call, Roy. We'll take more of yours. We want to get to most of them or all of them if we can on the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290. Chip, you're on the program. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. I'm not buying into the game one, it's game six, because it's a continuation of, if it was a new coach, I might say that. But it's a continuation of everything we've seen for seven seasons, where we've consistently been at the bottom of the league in shots allowed and other defensive categories. The players aren't buying in, or they're not receiving the message, and at that point either the player has to go or the coach delivering the message has to go. Like, what's Dave Tippett up to nowadays, you know? Also, I'm not ready to give Hellebuyck the number one nod for the rest of the season or to give up on Mason. However, Toronto just played their backup goalie the first time, like game six or seven. They're not going, oh, he hasn't played in 2 weeks. I think you got to ride. Hellebuyck was hot. You got to ride the hot guy, get those wins, especially if we're, you know, what I think maybe a 7-8 team as far as getting into the playoffs. I think that's our best bet.
You know what, brother? You know what I think, man? I think that if Hellebuyck would have started that game against Columbus, I think that we'd be talking about how his hot streak just came to a sharp end.
I still think he should have started.
Fair. Fair enough.
And then would you go with Mason tonight then?
Well, it depends on how that game would have went, right? If he would have got shelled there, I would have went with Mason tonight. But back to the Dave Tippett thing, perhaps. What's he up to now, Dave?
Don't know.
I just think something needs to be done. This is year seven. The boys aren't buying in. Doesn't matter if it's game six or game 40.
Tippett is a good call, too, boy.
He's enjoying that paycheck from the Coyotes. That's probably what he's doing right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, like, I know a lot of fans want a coaching change and stuff. I just think it's not going to happen, and they're going to give him a lot of leeway, and I think it's going to take more than six games. And I'll go back to my original point at the start of the Boss Pizza fan line. I just don't think what they are today, going into tonight's game, is what they're going to be. I think that – am I surprised at the first two games? Yeah, that's about the worst start you could have. Am I surprised they beat Edmonton in the fashion they did? Yes, I am. Am I impressed by Columbus and not impressed by their lack of effort against Columbus? Yes, all those questions. But at six games, I just don't think this team is what it's going to be right now going forward.
I agree with that, but the forward is unknown. The forward isn't necessarily better. It's not hard for me, boys, to look at October. Mini, Pittsburgh, Columbus, Pittsburgh, mini. It's not real hard to see a losing streak. And that scares the dickens out of me. Like with Columbus, if the boys lose tonight and then they got those 4 days off and then Pittsburgh, Columbus on the back end of Pittsburgh in a back-to-back is not good news. So, boy, this is they're on a slippery slope. It is really greased up and slippery.
It's going to be fascinating 2 weeks. And as I do and try to look at all sides of it, the flip side of that is say they win three of the next four. I'm not going to sit here and go, well, they're fixed. And they're on their way, and watch out.
They'll have to be. They'll have to be on their way if they win three of the next four, JT, against this competition, for sure. There'll be a couple of steps in the right direction if they pull that off.
The historic inconsistency of this team, if they win three of the next four, I'm not buying into. They're fixed, and they're going. I'm just thinking I'd like to see a bigger sample size this season of what this team is going to be. Thanks, Chip. Back to Boss Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290 on the Big Show on an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Brent, you're on the program. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. You?
Doing fine. I like to, quote Paul Maurice when he says, "You are what your record says you are." And last year, we stunk. And if we didn't win seven meaningless games at the end of the season, we would have really stunk. One of the bottom feeders. So if that's where we're starting from, and now we're a legitimate 500, there's no three-point games in there. We're a legitimate 500 team, three wins and three losses. And as far as the goaltending goes, I just sort of noticed, well, who did Mason play against? Well, near the top, we had, like, Toronto, believe it or not, and I hate to say it.
Calgary and Columbus.
Calgary and Columbus, all three of them right up there.
Yep.
And then who did Hellebuyck beat?
Edmonton.
Have Edmonton that we thought was going to be good, but obviously are not at this stage of the hockey season. And Carolina and
Vancouver.
And Vancouver, that's not a good club. So to say that the Jets played differently in front of Mason, I think some of those teams that are really good and historically were not, they can make it look that way. So it would have been interesting if Mason would have got the start tonight. I mean, not that Minnesota's not a good team, but you look at their record and their injuries, he just had a better chance. And who knows, is he going to get thrown up against, well, you know, pick your poison. You got Pittsburgh or you got Columbus again at home. So, but anyways, right now, right in the here and now, we're a legitimate 500 club working through some things. So compared to last year, I believe a legitimate 500, you're either in the playoffs or legitimately fighting within a point or two, right? So let's not sink the ship quite yet.
Thanks for the call, Brent, on the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290. We'll get to one more before we have to break.
I got bad news for everyone, though, that there's going to be some sort of reprieve tonight offensively. Although they're 1-1-2, I believe, is what they are. The Wild are averaging 3.7 points or goals per game this year compared to the Blue Jackets averaging 3. And they were the highest scoring team in the West last year, the Minnesota Wild were. So if you think it's going to be some sort of defensive battle out there tonight, think again.
Terry, you're on the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290. Go ahead.
Morning. I'll keep my call short. As I see it, and it looks like coaching is the theme of the morning conversation, there's three forks in the road for this season. The first fork is this team turns it around, and they finally buy in, and it's very successful. Buy in defensively. It's a good year, and we're moving forward in a positive fashion. Second one is, the second fork is, we tank. It gets so bad to a point where the only decision is they have to let go Maurice and put someone else new for change to the positive. And the most disconcerting one is, and the worst fork is they play just good enough for the coach not to get fired and just to play a few percent above mediocrity. And then we fall a few points out of the playoff race. Same old, same old. So to me is that middle fork, that last fork is, I think a lot of fans don't want to be there. And I think it's going to have to take that second fork with this team literally tanking, going on a streak and saying, we give up. I think Chipman and this management has just too much loyalty for both the GM and the coaches. And it's going to have to take that, you know, a devastating losing streak to make it happen. Troy threw out those Corsi numbers yesterday on the defensive side. Man, we are in the bottom 5% of the of those Corsi defensively. You cannot argue those things, and that's not this year. It's from previous years. So, and my final point is, in order for things, if things really start to tank, the way the NHL structure is with contracts, etc., you can't make changes in a big way with regards to moving players and contracts. So the single biggest change that this team can make, and most NHL teams, is coaching, is behind the bench. And to me, there's a lot of good coaches out there. And one example is Tortorella. Are you telling me that the Columbus Blue Jackets were that much more talented than the Winnipeg Jets? Yet they completely outclassed, and I don't want to hear excuses of the Jets not being prepared. They were at least in the same range of skill level, but it was like kids playing men out there. So that shows me is when players are buying into a system, and there has to be a level, maybe a poor word, of fear, where the players fear the coach and he's not their friend. You can have a good relationship, but I think the majority of successful coaches have that level of fear, like, if we let this guy down, there's going to be a serious consequence. And I think Maurice, he's just too nice of a guy. Anyway, gentlemen, I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
Thanks, Terry. We got a break. We'll be back with more calls. 780-1290 on an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Congratulations to Peter Urejiquwi, TSN 1290's Subway Sports Star of the Week. Peter was nominated by his assistant coach Yusuf Hawash, who told us Peter is a grade 10 high school football player for the Churchill Bulldogs. He's a rookie to the sport. He moved to Canada from Nigeria just a couple of years ago. Listen to this, Westy. Last week, Peter rushed for 271 yards and also had four quarterback sacks on defense in the same game.
Wow.
He has 12 sacks for the season, which sets a new division record. Peter has a very positive attitude and always a big smile on his face. For those reasons, Peter is today's Subway Sports Star of the Week and receives a $50 gift card from Subway. Eat fresh. If you'd like to nominate someone to be our next Subway Sports Star of the Week, tell us about them now at tsn1290.ca. We'll announce another winner next Friday.
Back Keep to kicking butt, Peter!
Back to the Boss Pizza fan line. Did you guys want to comment on Terry's stuff or...
So let's squeeze these two.
Yeah, let's get these two. Thanks for the call, though, Terry. Jim, you're on the program. Go ahead.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm a 7-year season ticket holder and starting to get pretty frustrated with the team and the lack of changes.
Okay. What would you like to see changed?
Well, last year we had one of the top lines everyone was talking about in the league. Our three up-and-coming stars, they were doing great. And then all of a sudden, that gets switched up. What's your comments on switching that line? What was wrong that they had to switch it up?
Ehlers, Scheifele, Laine, you're talking?
Yes, yeah.
Well, I'm fine with... I mean, the top six are all dynamic players. I think they both have to work. I mean, I know a lot of people like that line, and I mean, those six, regardless of who they're playing with, should score. I mean, Patrick Laine, Jim, leads the NHL on 5-on-5 shots, I believe, at 34, and he's hit the net 14 of those 34. Like, it's not like he's not getting his chances.
I agree with you, though, Jim, and I even think it's better for Connor. And from a defensive standpoint, like Little, Wheeler, Connor, Ehlers, Scheifele, Laine, I don't get it either, man. I'm with you.
All right, Jim. Okay, we'll move on to Larry. Thanks for the call, Jim. Larry, you're on the big show. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. There's two major things going on here. First of all, he gets a line combination that's really working, and he plays with it, he meddles with it, he moves it around, he changes it. Why don't you work on what's not working and let work what is working? Second thing, there's too much friendship going on that team. I've worked with men my whole life. I've led men. If there's not a level of fear in the men that there will be consequences no matter what, it does not work. And we've seen it here countless times with Buffalo and a few others. And that's their problem. And if they don't fix it, this will be like this 20 years from now.
So the fear is needed, and what was the other one?
Fear or respect, right? Like, I think there's all kinds there's of respect for, yeah, Paul Maurice in that locker room. And anyone that's been around Paul Maurice, there's an aura about him, man, where you'd be tuned in. We've heard Blake Wheeler talk about him and the amount of respect that he's gotten. Even same with Dustin Byfuglien. So I don't think that's lacking.
Yeah, and his earlier point was about Paul Maurice and juggling the lines maybe too much. Mm-hmm. Tyler Dello of The Athletic had a piece yesterday, yep, looking at coaches and who juggles their lines more, who's more conservative, and Paul Maurice is one of the more conservative coaches in the NHL. It always seems like any fan base will say, yeah, my coach juggles the lines too much, keep things. Paul Maurice is actually one of those guys, you know, if you were going to fault him in that regard, you'd say that he probably doesn't do it enough.
Let me ask you guys something real quick. Okay?
I just want to – I don't get those comments because he literally said 2 days ago the idea would be to move Ehlers down, but I'm not because that line's going well. Like, he's juggling the lines that aren't producing and doing well.
Weakest part of the team is what right now? Any doubt it's the bottom six?
Agreed.
Tanev, Kopp, and Armia is the projected third line for this team tonight?
Yes.
Is Dustin, yes, Byfuglien better than any of those guys?
As a third line forward?
The answer is yes, I believe.
Yes, but I don't think it helps the team.
Well, yeah, to me, if Myers is healthy and you got Enstrom, Myers, and then if you're okay with Schrott and Pullman until Kulikov comes back, the injection, like to try and wake this team up, I think that's the move to make. If you, with everything that's contained here, and if the defense is, you can laugh all you want, Jim, but if you put Dustin Byfuglien up there and if you put some anger, right, if he goes up there and starts doing the things that he does as a forward, I think the most positive way to impact this team, to wake it up and shake it, that's the move to make. And if you can think of another move, you let me know what it is.
Well, get some production out of the guys. Have the guys play better. Have the guys we talk about, like Patan and Armia and Kopp, and the guys who have some talent, to actually put up some points.
What kind of solution is that? You're asking them to be productive. There's no solution in that, man. You're waiting.
That's something you're waiting for. I think that is the worst idea you can do. And we know how we both feel about that. So we'll agree to disagree. Thanks for listening to The Big Show. The game is tonight, 7 o'clock in Industrial Metals, Winnipeg Jets game day. We got two tickets to Roger Waters this Sunday, October the 22nd at Bell MTS Place, 780-1290. 12th caller through gets those. On behalf of Troy Wessel, Brandon Ricky, myself, Jim Toth, have a great weekend. Thank you for listening to The Big Show. We'll be back Monday morning at 6 on TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki, weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.